Hollywood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon, sunny, 55 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Bank One. Lawmakers in Colorado are trying to make it tough for people to blame the fast food industry for their obesity, at least in court. A state Senate committee voted yesterday in favor of saying that obesity is a personal problem, not the fault of corporations. There haven't been any lawsuits over a person becoming overly large in Colorado, but the lawmakers are trying to cut that option out of the state before it starts. Some of the lawmakers say no one is forced to go into a fast food restaurant and eat their allegedly unhealthy food. The entire state Senate will probably vote on the ban this week. Watch out for falling beef prices. This comes from the head of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Executive Director Gary Cowman spoke yesterday at a forum on mad cow disease at the National Western Stock Show, saying he foresees an imminent reduction in prices for beef at the grocery store.
We've got product here that we can't export. And I think our situation will be not as severe as it was in Canada, where they had a major reduction in price because they export something like 60%. But we could see a little easing at the retail level.
Cowman says that the technology to trace the carrier of mad cow has existed for years but is being stepped up. Perfecting that technology, he says, will take money and time, likely between 2 and 3 years. Nonetheless, he believes American consumers should buy beef with confidence because the infected cow slaughtered in Washington State last month has been identified and traced to a farm in Alberta, Canada. Kobe Bryant's attorneys want to be allowed to present his accusers' past sexual history in court. They file court papers in Colorado claiming state law allows that argument. The woman accuses Bryant of raping her last summer. Bryant admits having sex with her, but says it was consensual. His attorneys say the woman had sex with other men besides Bryant in a 72-hour period before she was examined at a hospital. Prosecutors have argued that state law prohibits her sexual past from being admitted at trial. The Hayman fire is ancient history, unless, of course, you live near the 138,000-acre burn zone. Bill Jackson of the U.S. Forest Service says traveling the roads in that area can still be a hassle.
Currently, a lot of roads are still under emergency closure due to public safety concerns. So we have to make a decision. The Forest Service needs to make a decision on how to proceed with the nature of these roads for the future.
Jackson says the Forest Service has numerous options as to what to do with the roads affected by the fire. The two most primary choices are to either maintain a road as it was maintained before the fire or to get rid of the road, returning that area to the state it was in before the road was built. An open house on the matter is set for Golden next Wednesday in Colorado Springs on Thursday. For more information, call 719-264-6154. Scott Peterson's double murder trial will go forward after his lawyers today couldn't persuade a judge to throw out the charges. The judge agreed with the pretrial judge's ruling that the prosecution had presented enough evidence to bring Peterson to trial for the murders of his wife and unborn son. New York City Police Commissioner Ray Kelly says authorities in Pennsylvania are investigating a body found this morning that, quote, may be that of missing actor Spalding Gray. Kelly says a male body was found in Pittsburgh close to the home of one of Gray's relatives. The 62-year-old actor and writer was last seen Saturday evening at his home in Soho. Police have also been searching in the Hamptons, where Gray also has a home. A bold space initiative that sets NASA on a new path will be unveiled by President Bush today. He's expected to call for a return of Americans to the moon and eventually to Mars. NASA Administrator Sean O'Keefe said this morning the plan is all about exploration. Senator Ted Kennedy says the Bush administration and the Republican-led Congress are leading the nation into a perilous place.
The administration and the majority in Congress have put the state of our union at risk. And they do not deserve another term in the White House or in control of Congress.
In a policy speech in Washington, the Massachusetts Democrats said Republicans are willing to pursue an extremist ideology at any price. He says those policies are being pursued at the expense of truth and at the expense of urgent human needs. On Wall Street, the major indices are all higher at this hour. The Dow is up more than 69 points. The Nasdaq up nearly 4 points. The S&P 500 up about 5. In sports, the Denver Nuggets head into L.A. tonight to play the Lakers. Nuggets beat the Lakers here at home last Wednesday. Nuggets coming off their 105-92 win over the Suns in Phoenix last night. Colorado Avalanche have tonight off as they get ready to host the Dallas Stars tomorrow night. Avs beat the Mighty Ducks 3-1 last night at the Pepsi Center. In college basketball tonight, the CU Buffs head to Nebraska to play the Cornhuskers. Stop by Bank One and get maximum strength checking, the most powerful form of checking known to money, now with free customized email alerts that can save you money. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Listen up, men. Insight, the once-a-day tablet for natural male enhancement, powers into 2004 as a NASCAR team sponsor. And now, while supplies last, Team Insight is giving away free 30-day samples. To get a free 30-day sample box, just log on to 4insight.com. That's the number 4, E-N-Z-Y-T-E.com. Or call 1-800-778-5290. Look for the number 50 car and experience natural male enhancement with a free sample box of Insight. Call 1-800-778-5290. 1-800-778-5290.
Times are tight, and if you're retired, the cost of living adjustment doesn't seem to keep up. That's why AARP is sponsoring a program with the National Council on Aging to ensure that you aren't missing out on valuable benefits. If you're an older American living on a fixed income and you're having trouble paying your bills, here's good news. You may be eligible for savings on groceries, health care, and even energy bills. Call AARP and the National Council on Aging for your free and confidential benefit checkup. Call 303-318-6764 for more information.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Waterway Gas and Wash, and just a really good drive right now, accident-free. We do have a couple slowdowns for you that we need to tell you about. Hampton at I-25, there's a lane shift there that'll cause you a bit of a delay in the immediate area. Either end of I-25, right at Colorado, watch for some delays. And also, northbound I-25 through the tech center, just some slowing due to too many cars, not enough road. When the weather gets bad, stop in a Waterway Car Wash for the Winter Protection Package to help you fight off winter's evil road salt, slush, and grime. Visit today. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Lots of sun over our area today, above average temperatures as well. High of 60 degrees. Later on tonight, clear down to 29, but we're looking at upper 30s near the foothills. Tomorrow and Friday, lots of sun, just a few clouds, 56 for tomorrow, 48 for Friday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under sunny skies, it's 57 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We have a lot planned for you today. I'll start with Friday first and work backwards. Linda Fairstein will be joining us on Friday. She's a former Manhattan prosecutor, headed up the sex crimes unit, a real presence in Manhattan, now a blockbuster novelist. Her new book is called The Kills. We're going to be giving away tickets for Queen Noor's appearance. She'll be here in Denver on Tuesday, so stay tuned. And also tickets later on for Suddenly Sonoma, Definitely Denver, over 80 wines from Sonoma Vintners. Money will go to charity, and this is for Friday night, so we're going to be giving away all of that. With us in this hour is Anne Gerhart, who is a writer for the Washington Post. She has written an intriguing new book. It's really fun to read it. It's called The Perfect Wife, The Life and Choices of Laura Bush. And if you were listening last week, the Washington Post excerpted one of the more scathing chapters of the book. This is a chapter on Laura Bush's girls, the twins. And that was what I read to you in its entirety. Anne Gerhart, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm thrilled to be here. I'm so flattered to think you read my words on the air.
Oh, I did. I thought that the what had been reported about your book is that it had been a largely positive look at Laura Bush, except for the scathing chapter on the twins. And if you can, you know, if it adds another texture of meaning to know about people by the way they've dealt with their children and what kind of parents they've been, I think it really says a great deal about Laura Bush.
I think you're right. I mean, I think it certainly does, too. Look, I was really interested in creating a psychological portrait of her. And so this book takes into account 57 years of her life, from her birth in West Texas in the dusty oil town of Midland and on through high school, college, working life, early marriage, and so on into the White House. And to say, how did we get to be this woman we see or do not see today? So I was very much interested in examining the relationship she had with her girls and this dynamic which seems to have permitted them to feel they could act out the defiance they feel over their father's position in the public eye.
I am so outraged by this, Anne. I mean, this is their father who is, I have many names for his for their father, very few of them flattering. But he is the president of the United States. And they get so many benefits. I know maybe it's a bit of a hassle to have Secret Service around when you're trying to go out on a date and stuff like that. But to be so dismissive and so snotty about their parents and to let have their parents get away, let them get away with it is to me outrageous.
Yeah, I found it quite intriguing, I must say. And I traveled with Mrs. Bush overseas. We were told ahead of time, Jenna is coming along. She is off limits. You will not speak to her. You will not approach her. We would prefer she not be photographed. And we said, fine. We had all handled that way with Chelsea. And we certainly understood that these presidential children have a right to their private lives. However, it never occurred to me that when that girl got off the plane in Paris, waiting, she would look as if she were still funking around on the Austin campus. I was really stunned by that.
Well, give us the way you open the chapter, which is, you know, Laura Bush knows the routine. She gets out of a limousine. She's very well dressed for this trip to Europe. She pauses long enough for the cameras to take pictures of her. And then clumping out of the back seat is Jenna Bush, wearing her midriff is exposed. It's pooching out. She's got hair that she just put up. Clearly it hasn't even been combed with some kind of a clip. She's got jeans on that are ragged at the bottom because she's ground the bottoms of them into the sidewalk for too long. And she doesn't even bother to look nice. And all of you are speculating, well, she's got about, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 hours before they get to Paris before she gets herself together. And when she gets out of the plane, describe the scene.
Well, she gets out of the plane and she appears at the doorway. And, you know, of course, when you travel on Air Force One, or not in this case Air Force One, but a military jet, you know, you're not going up to the airport. You're coming down the steps. And so she looks out the door and she sees that there are French photographers and they've got long lenses. She can see that. And she disappears back and we all kind of say, well, what's going to go on now? And then the of the limousine floats up.
The trunk of the limousine floats up.
That's right. It floats up and a valet comes and retrieves one of Mrs. Bush's Neiman Marcus garment bags and carries it back up the stairs. And now Jenna exits the plane hiding behind these garment bags, literally hiding behind her mother's skirts. And it was just the most remarkable thing because it was clear to me that only two conversations could have taken place between the girl and her mother. And I, of course, wasn't privy to those, nor do I expect to be. But the only thing to deduce was, number one, her mother said, Jenna, I would really like you to change your clothes and look a little more presentable, representing the offices of the United States on this official trip. And the girl refused, or Mrs. Bush didn't even bother to ask. Her whole position has been to say they just want to be like ordinary teenagers. And I'm the mother of teenagers. And when they say that to me, I say, I don't care what ordinary teenagers do. You're not going to be like ordinary teenagers. So it's been a very interesting thing to watch happen. However, what I note today is we have another piece today in the Washington Post by our White House reporter, Mike Allen, who was with the President and First Lady on this summit in Monterrey, Mexico, and Jenna attended the summit. And now we see a new Jenna. She has taken a walk on the wonk side, and she is sitting in the third row at a press conference where her father and other economic leaders of South and Central American nations are speaking. She is dressed in very sharp, sophisticated fashion, wearing nice slacks and a black sweater and a beautiful serape. She looks very poised and quite engaged in manners of policy and economic development.
This is in today's style section. Do you think that it was the result of that scathing chapter in the book?
No, I don't know that. I think it is a result. I can't know that, but I don't think that it is entirely coincidental.
I can't imagine that Barbara Bush would put up with this in her granddaughters, knowing how important the office is. It's going to be a tight race, we hope. How is it that the grandparents, although you talked about a sort of coming to Jesus along the line where the grandparents and the twins, and they don't even like to come to the White House. They don't want to come to see their parents. I mean, they sound like indulged, spoiled princesses.
Well, I think that Laura Bush has always said about this, about her relationship with her mother-in-law. She says, I haven't asked Barbara Bush for a lot of advice, and she hasn't given it to me. I think that they enjoy a good relationship, and I think what keeps it that way is Laura Bush is not interested at all in competing with Barbara Bush because, number one, she's not a competitive woman, and number two, she's not going to win that competition.
Let's go look at Laura Bush. First of all, was this Anne Gerhart, and if you're just joining us, she has written a book called The Perfect Wife, The Life and Choices of Laura Bush. She writes for The Washington Post. And was this an authorized biography? Did you get access to Laura Bush's friends? Did Laura Bush talk to you about this?
Well, it's not an authorized biography. As an independent reporter for a mainstream publication, I would never join forces and become a business partner of a political figure. So this was a book that I did from my vantage point as the Washington Post reporter assigned to cover her for the past 3 years. I did seek cooperation from the White House and initially hoped that Mrs. Bush would agree to sit for a few interviews specific to the book, but Karen Hughes determined that that wasn't a good idea, although I was never told exactly why. However, I continued to cover for the paper and travel with her and interview her and write about her extensively. So in some ways, it didn't really matter, and I found that a lot of her friends were willing to talk to me anyway, and some of them didn't, and I wasn't able to interview her mother, for instance. I think that would have been good to do, you know, to get some more details on growing up, but I was able to work around that and report around it.
What can you tell us about Laura Bush? Who is she? What did you find out that surprised you?
I think she's a mysterious woman almost. You know, she presents as this passive, supportive woman, highly traditional in many ways, but I think that to see her as only that would be to significantly underestimate her. She's keenly intelligent. I think she has a restless, inquisitive mind. I think there's good reason to suspect she's far more liberal than her husband and that she may personally have some values which would horrify some of
Anne, are you there?
On the religious right.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, she has learned to compartmentalize herself and her ideals in service to the president.
Who runs that show? I get the feeling that she's that she runs the show more than people realize in that relationship. Do you have that sense?
Yes, I think that she is the caretaker of that relationship. I think she does the emotional work of that relationship.
But is she the brains of the relationship?
Well, in what sense?
I just have the feeling that when she married George, that he was at loose ends. He was, you know, he'd gone through a lot of failure in his life and had drinking problems and didn't shape up until fairly later in life, about 40. And I just had the feeling that she was the emotional compass in that relationship, that she lets him know what to do. She's been quoted as saying, Bushy, you did this or that in terms of criticizing his public presentations. So I have a feeling that he looks up to her and that she runs the show. And it sounded in that chapter that you wrote about the twins that he rarely wins a fight when it comes to the twins, that she pretty much calls the shots there. And I'm wondering if she doesn't pretty much call the shots in the relationship.
Yes, I think that she is the emotional center of that relationship. I think that she sees herself as a caretaker. She once said that I've always done what really traditional women have done and I've always been well satisfied. But she does have this independence and these wide interests which he doesn't share. And I think the deal has always been between them that she can pursue those things and she can go off and she can read Dostoevsky and so on, but she will never, ever embarrass him or do anything to thwart the forward motion of the policies of the administration. And she carries that out very well. She's gracious and charming, and I think the American people do feel that she is sincere and that what you see is what you get. You know, she's really authentic. And I feel that way about her.
Is it a real relationship? I have the sense that it is.
I think, you know, this will sound like psychobabble, but psychologists talk a lot about couples and the we-ness. And I think they have a great deal of we-ness, those two. They have maintained the same kind of dynamic between them for years. They're both very interested in the routine of their lives. They get up at the same time every day. He brings her a cup of coffee and the papers. She reads all the papers.
He doesn't.
And her mother did once say the two of them could spend every hour of the day together and never be tired of each other. And I think that's really true. I think he depends on her for her serenity and her composure and for stabilizing him, either in words or with a touch of the hand. And what she gets from him, she enjoys his energy and his humor and his wit and his kind of... I think she likes that a lot.
She's been criticized for, as first ladies go, not doing all that much. We don't see very much of her. She's more of a helpmate to him. We don't see her except for literacy projects or poets in the White House readings, that sort of thing. We're not seeing an involved or activist first lady. And after 9/11, she actually became the counselor in chief, and was very comforting to the country in a way that he seemed unable to do, at least in the beginning.
I think that's true. And then we saw her vanish again.
Exactly right. You say in the book that she sneaks home from time to time, goes to Midland, Texas. My question for you, and stays in the room that she lived in when she was a child, she had a traumatic experience when she was a high school student. She killed a kid who, in some reports, was her boyfriend. She ran a stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find out anything new about that? And what effect it's had on her in subsequent years?
Yeah, when I looked at her life, it was clear to me that there were two defining moments, hinges in her personal history, if you will. And one was when she ran through this stop sign she never saw at 50 miles per hour when she was a 17-year-old girl in her daddy's car and slammed into an oncoming car which had the right of way and instantly killed the driver of that car, who was a high school classmate and friend of hers, a high school track star. Happened in a small town. Everybody knew instantly what had happened. Everybody knew who was responsible, plunged the entire community into grief, and it caused this already reticent young woman to become even more reserved. And, you know, you have to remember, this is Midland, Texas, 1964. There are no grief counselors. People have not been trained to understand how greatly that would affect someone's life. And so there's just silence. She comes back to school 2 weeks later, and people I talked to said, you know, I don't think anybody ever said anything to her about it. Life went on as before. That can't help but have an impact on you that lasts your whole life long. And then the second event, of course, is September 11th. And I happened to be there with her on that day. And when I saw her in the moments after the plane struck the World Trade Center, and it was clear to all of us that this was no airliner which had wandered off course, but was indeed a terrorist attack, I knew that she knew immediately her life had changed forever. You know, she was a composed woman, and for the first time I saw her fighting back tears and twisting her fingers at her side. And my heart went out to her because she perceived that and felt that in her bones immediately, that not only her life, but her husband's presidency and the whole nation had shifted forever. So it's been quite a traumatic experience for her. I think that she has this hard-won serenity she has used to get herself through it and to perform well.
As her biographer, how would you imagine the effect of mowing down, running a stop sign when you're 17 years old, killing somebody who's your friend? What effect does that have on her relationship with her own children? Does that make her more protective? Does that make her more indulgent as a parent?
Well, you know, she doesn't talk about it very much. She doesn't like to talk about herself very much at all, and she certainly doesn't like to poke around with you in her own psyche. I mean, Bushes are famous for not wanting to look to their psychological interiors, and she certainly shares that with them. When I've asked her about it, she has always said, well, I think it gave me more of a perspective on life, and I might have gotten that perspective anyway, but I just got it at 17, which is very vague, almost opaque in a way, because she doesn't really explain to you what it is that she means. In her case, I think it made her less impetuous and less spontaneous than before. She's a very considered woman. She's not prone to do things with a great deal of spontaneity. Probably the most impulsive decision she ever made in her life was marrying George W. Bush, agreeing to marry him after only 6 weeks of courtship. And I think it also, though, has made her less judgmental, and she's more inclined to be compassionate. She's not one for the snap judgment. I think she recognizes that people sometimes make mistakes and errors in judgment, and terrible things can happen in an instant, and you never can take them back. So you might think it would make her more protective of her girls, but I think she has pushed herself to have them feel they should have this ordinary life, and in many ways perhaps to feel they should have the ordinary foibles of teenagers without the kind of pain that I'm sure she must have experienced, and tremendous anguish and guilt.
My guest is Anne Gearhart, who writes for The Washington Post. Her new book, The Perfect Wife, The Life and Choices of Laura Bush. More as we continue. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
We don't have to call San Antonio or Atlanta to get permission like some Denver stations do. Local talk, both sides, AM 1150 KNRC.
Work for someone you love. You. Are you looking for a satisfying career helping others? Join the trillion-dollar wellness revolution by becoming a body-mind specialist. You can become a psychotherapist and a hypnotherapist and open your private practice upon graduation from Day of Miracles School. Your training is unique, spiritual, fun, and comprehensive. Sharpen your own awareness, listening, and communication skills. Take the weekend training to learn the psychology of the subconscious mind. The subconscious directly accesses the body, mind connection, and inner wisdom. Hypnotherapy is effective for smoking cessation, reducing stress and anxiety, releasing past traumas, creating better relationships, and much more. The dynamic training teaches you innovative skills of interactive hypnotherapy. Day of Miracles School is a licensed occupational school, and you're invited to call 303-777-2555. Classes begin February and September. Please mention KNRC to receive a tuition discount and CD about the program. Call 303-777-2555.
If you're trying to lose weight safely, sensibly, and effectively, listen closely. This message is for you. We all know that to lose weight, a sensible diet and exercise are the keys to getting rid of unwanted pounds. And while we can't always be good, there's a secret weapon to get you through the tough times. Introducing UltraCarb. The active ingredient in all-natural UltraCarb can slow the transition of carbohydrates into fat, giving you the edge it takes when you're trying to lose weight the right way. Thousands of people across the country have made UltraCarb a part of their weight loss program with amazing results. The fact is, no pill can make you lose weight overnight, but with UltraCarb, you can get a welcome boost toward achieving your goal, and in the war against fat, every little bit helps. Whether you're on a low-carb diet or just reducing your intake, UltraCarb can help. Imagine looking in the mirror and seeing a happier, thinner you. With UltraCarb, you can make that a reality. Call now to find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or your money back. 1-800-451-6432. That's 1-800-451-6432. It's risk-free and guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
It's about dreams.
The winner of American Idol is Kelly Clarkson.
It's about talent.
The winner of American Idol 2003 is Ruben Studdard.
It's about the phenomenon.
This is Play Mania.
It's about to start all over again.
You are useless.
The new season of American Idol begins this Monday at 8, 7 Central on Fox.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the three-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1229 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock with me. Ann Gerhardt, writer for the Washington Post, her new book, The Perfect Wife, The Life and Choices of Laura Bush. Ann, I wanted to ask you, having covered her since her ascendancy into the White House these past 3 years, what surprises emerged for you in researching this book? Were there any surprises, actually?
Well, what I was really intrigued with was learning that, in fact, most of her really close girlfriends are all not only Democrats, but pretty flagrantly liberal. I was surprised by that. I didn't. I guess I sort of thought when she first came around, here we have a Texas Republican wife with fairly stiff hair.
Like Kay Bailey Hutchison.
A little bit. Uh-huh. And I think that's been a really interesting thing to think about, because it's led me to consider how stifling this job might be for her. I think we've got a lot of circumstantial evidence that she may be much more liberal than her husband, and the Republicans never do anything to disabuse us of this notion because it works for her. It's very convenient politically to present her as more compassionate, less prone to bipartisan rancor, and that way they can use her to try to reach women voters who are always more liberal than men, the pollsters tell us, to reach out to independent voters and swing voters and try to pull in those people who look at her and say, you know, she seems like a great woman, and maybe if he's married to her, he can't be all that bad.
Well, like, she's a moderating influence, and on the question of abortion, for example, they made it clear that she and her husband didn't agree. And I don't know if it was ever overt where she said she favored abortion, but you had the impression, and especially with two girls as frisky as those two, she better not be too anti-abortion. You never know.
Well, she has said it overtly once, and that was immediately prior to the inauguration. She said she did not favor Roe v. Wade being overturned. She has never said anything public on the subject since.
Do you have
talked with friends of hers in Texas who told me they're really pro-gun control, they're really against the death penalty, and when they see George and Laura in social settings, they get right in his face and tell him.
Does she have much influence with him along these lines, or is he pretty much, you know, after looking at the interviews with Paul O'Neill, you get the impression, you know, a couple of things come to mind. Manchurian Candidate is one of them, and Chauncey Gardner and being there is another. Is he just a cipher, easily manipulable by his father's Oldsmobile, you know, all the old cronies in the White House? Does she have much, even though she's the brains in the relationship or maybe the emotional compass in it, does she have much influence with him on political issues? Or does he know what he's got to do to stay in office and that's just the name of the game?
I think that the political operation in that White House is very important and really quite in control. And I think all policy directives are done in concert with the political implications of them. So, and she has no interest in that, actually. Unlike her mother-in-law, who was very interested in political strategy and who was playing what role in what campaign and whether they were loyal to the cause, Laura Bush will go out and campaign and do that effectively, but that's not really something that's ever interested in her. She really didn't want to marry him initially for that reason, because she thought he was somebody really political and she didn't want to do that. To think that she doesn't care about issues would be wrong, however. And I think that his whole interest in education reform is directly a result of his association with her. Not in a Hillary Clinton, Bill, this is what we're going to do, we're going to fix health care kind of way. I don't think it's that directed, but she's quite passionate about education, and she believes very deeply that if a kid isn't reading fluently in second grade, they're going to fall behind and they're never going to regain their stride. And that has widespread implications for the whole society, of course. By living with her and hearing her talk about that over the years, even after she had actually given up her career, I think he has come to share the same values in the way two people do who are in a good marriage and talk with each other and respect each other's values. And he has taken those. She, in Texas particularly, was very influential in getting the legislature to appropriate $17 million for early childhood reading programs that they hadn't intended to do. So I think in that way she is influential.
She once famously said... When asked by George Bush's was his grandmother, Dorothy Walker Bush, what do you do? And she said, I listen. And you have the impression that her tenure in the White House, she has retreated to a world of books and imagination. They may be high-level literary fiction, but there's a certain sense of retreat there, too, isn't there?
I think we've seen her come and go. And, yes, I think that there are ways in which she does retreat. I mean, I think that shortly after September 11th, she took herself very seriously and saw she had a chance to really make a difference. And while it might sound as if it's a bromide to tell people to turn off the television and protect their children, Americans needed to hear that, especially when the male figures in the administration were standing up there every day scaring us all half to the death.
And telling us to go shopping.
Right.
Hers was a better bromide of the two.
Exactly. So I think she found a way to do that, and to do that, as I said, with authenticity. I mean, I do think that people read her as warm and committed about those particular issues that are near and dear to her.
I have to say, Anne,
but in the run-up to Iraq,
yeah,
you know, I think here's what happened. There was much more unanimity in this nation about going to war in Afghanistan than there certainly was about the war in Iraq. And so she had plenty of room to talk about the rights of Afghan women. When I would talk to her about the rights of Saudi women, who are not permitted to drive, who are not permitted to own property, and I would press her, are you going to be speaking out about that? She would deflect, deflect, deflect. She would not go there. She's very disciplined and controlled, and she will never do anything that could be construed as controverting the policies of White House.
Oh, she knew that she would be stepping in it if she discussed that with you. And the
Absolutely.
Other thing I would like to say, I think that she's probably in that family a more introspective person than the rest of them are. It's just that they have such contempt for the press. The last person she's going to reveal her innermost thoughts to would be a reporter. So I think if she appreciates the kind of literary fiction she's said to appreciate, I get the sense from her that there's a real imagination, there's a real introspection at work here. But she's not going to tell you that. She'll tell it to her girlfriends, I would think.
Right, exactly. And I do think it's an escape for her. I agree with that. I think she uses that as a place to have a retreat. I think it can be very isolating if you might be in a position where your social policies may differ from your husband's in this line of work. Certainly nobody brings it up to her. If she's got a few close girlfriends with whom she confides, we won't ever know that.
Oh,
and
no,
that's as it should be. I wouldn't want my good girlfriends telling the press what I was actually secretly thinking and discussing with them either. But I think that, you know, she uses fiction as a retreat. And I think that she has a great deal of knowledge that she never betrays to. She also is not somebody who is a leader by temperament. She's very solid. And
I want to say something, though. I do like her. I do like her for what I see of the public persona. Looking at your book, I like her. But the chapter about her relationship to her daughters gives another texture and I think really a darker side here, a really much more complicated. She's more complicated than she appears on the surface. And I think the handling of her children is, you know, opens up many questions. I don't think it's particularly deft handling of her kids. She's turned them into whiny little victims, and there must be some part of her that feels like she's being victimized by having to be a hothouse, tomato in the White House. It's a velvet prison in a lot of ways.
I think that's true. I think there's some possibility she's transferred some of that sense of victimization, which she would never permit herself to feel because she is too disciplined and because she does devote herself to him, and it's somehow been transferred onto those girls.
Ann Gerhart, thank you so much for joining us today. Her new book, The Perfect Wife, The Life and Choices of Laura Bush, it's a delicious read. Thank you, Ann.
Well, thank you.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC, the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. 12:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Sunny, 58 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Havoline High Mileage Protection Motor Oil. The State Patrol is investigating an accident in Boulder that hospitalized five occupants of an SUV this morning. According to witnesses at the scene, a Boulder Valley School District bus ran a stop sign and smashed into a Cadillac Escalade. Six children on the bus were not hurt, but the driver did receive some minor injuries. Kobe Bryant's attorneys have filed papers claiming that Colorado law allows them to present his accuser's past sexual history in court. Prosecutors have argued state law prohibits her sexual past from being admitted at trial. A senior Colorado Department of Revenue official has been placed on paid leave as part of a probe looking into the charges of alleged gift-giving by vendors who wanted to do business with the Colorado Lottery. George Turner has been an employee of the Revenue Department for nearly 30 years. In sports, the Denver Nuggets will be in L.A. tonight to play the Lakers. The Nuggets beat the Lakers last Wednesday at the Pepsi Center. Havoline High Mileage Protection Motor Oil is specially formulated to clean and protect engines driven over 75,000 miles. Add more life to your car with Havoline High Mileage Protection Motor Oil. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:40.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Join the Colorado Symphony Orchestra for a fairy tale program featuring Ravel's Mother Goose and excerpts from Prokofiev's Cinderella on January 16th, 17th, and 18th at Betcher Concert Hall. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC News Time is 12:41. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Albertsons. A pretty quiet drive around the metro area right now. We are accident-free. We cleaned off an accident northbound I-25 right around Orchard. Everything else looking good. Hampton at I-25, a lane shift causing some immediate slowing, as well as I-25 either direction at Colorado. Don't miss Albertsons' 10-cent sale going on now with Naval oranges, Russert potatoes, Dan's shoes, pears, lemons, limes. They're all 10 cents each. Stop by today. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Lots of sun over our area today. Above average temperatures as well. High of 60 degrees. Later on tonight, clear down to 29, but we're looking at upper 30s near the foothills. Tomorrow and Friday, lots of sun, just a few clouds. 56 for tomorrow, 48 for Friday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 58 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Jim Condor here talking with Bev Rouleau from International Optique. Bev, fashion eyewear the best in the city and now a sale. Bev, what's up with that?
Jim, International Optique is having our annual sale now through January 15th, and it's a blowout.
I know the details. If you purchase prescription frames and lenses at International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard, you receive a 25% discount.
It's a family affair at International Optique. Just bring your family and friends. Everyone receives 25% off their new frame and lenses.
And don't forget to use your flex dollars while saving money. If you run out of time to use your flex dollars, come in for a gift certificate to be used later.
Jim, the excitement about International Optique is that we carry frames with a little attitude or a lot of attitude. Either way, let our staff make sure you walk out looking beyond fabulous.
For the best in eyewear in Denver, joined International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard now through January 15th for their spectacular 25% off prescription frame and lens sale. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and we know International Optique.
KNRC Market Watch.
Gains in Wall Street's main index is holding as stocks advance across the board. with winning issues beating losers 3-2 at the NYSE. The Dow is now up 85. The S&P 500 gaining 6. The NASDAQ is up 7. Economic news helping turn traders' moods to optimism. Today, the Commerce Department reporting the U.S. trade gap narrowed more than 8% in November. That's more than predicted. The U.S. economy is getting better overall, so says the Federal Reserve. In its so-called Beige Book, tracking economic conditions in 12 regions, the Fed says there are increasing signs of hope for job seekers. Most regions reporting modestly increased hiring and reduced layoffs. Most regions also reporting a rebound in retail sales and busier factories. As the president outlines his plan to return humans to the moon and eventually send them to Mars, the two companies that do the most business with NASA are gaining. Lockheed Martin is up a quarter. Boeing is gaining 87 cents a share. I'm Andrew O'Day, in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1244 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. If you just tuned in, you have missed Ann Gerhart, Washington Post reporter. She's written a biography of Laura Bush, which really is a delicious read, called The Perfect Wife, The Life and Choices of Laura Bush. She's covered her for the past 3 years as First Lady. We have lots to talk about, but before we get underway, let's give away some tickets. We have two more pairs of tickets to give away. This is for the Suddenly Sonoma, Definitely Denver. This is going to be held on Friday night, January 16th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at Johnson & Wales University. You're going to be able to taste 80 different wines from Sonoma Vintners and lots of hors d'oeuvres prepared by Johnson & Wales students. The money goes to charity, but you don't care about that, or maybe you do, because it's not going to cost you any money. These are $40 person tickets. And the proceeds from the event benefit the Colorado Restaurant Association Education Fund and Colorado Pre-Start Program. So if you are the fourth caller, 1-2-3-4-303-382-1150, be the fourth caller, you get a pair of tickets, and we'll give away another pair a little bit later in the broadcast. You have to, though, be able to come to the station to pick them up. And we are and are during business hours, which would be 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Monday through Friday. Be the fourth caller. I think we have a winner. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. This is for Suddenly Sonoma, Definitely Denver, and I'm going to try and go, but it should be a lovely event. I went to Taste of the Nation at Johnson & Wales, a few months ago, and, gee, that was terrific. It was a bunch of different restaurants that had set up tents, and you got these fabulous hors d'oeuvres that you could really not have to eat for the next week or so, and lots of different, I think there were lots of different wines also to taste. But this is mostly about wine tasting and a lot of hors d'oeuvres to go with it, and see if you can get somebody to be your designated driver. We're going to give away another, if you didn't win this time, we'll give another pair of tickets away later in the broadcast, so stay tuned. And also today we're going to give away a set of tickets to Queen Noor at the KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series. She's going to be talking in Denver, giving a lecture Tuesday, January the 20th, 7 o'clock, Betcher Concert Hall, Denver Center for the Performing Arts. The value of those tickets, $66, so a pair of those tickets as well. We'll give those away a little bit later. So stay tuned, and we're also going to be joined in the MoveOn.org competition. Two Denver people scored big time. One of them was Charlie Fisher. Remember, there was a whole competition for what is the best 30-second ad about Bush that MoveOn.org would support, this huge competition that all of you on the net voted on, and then there was a panel of comics and all kinds of high-level folks who made the final picks. And two of the winners were from Denver, the number one winner, Charlie Fisher, and another winner, Jared Ewe, and he will join us in the next hour, at the top of the next hour. So we're going to be talking to him. Meantime, I've gotten a bunch of emails from some of you about the one of the issues we talked about yesterday, and that was the Reagan, putting Reagan on the dime. And somebody said, don't put Reagan on a dime unless you put Bonzo on the back of the dime. So, we're going to congratulate Rachel from Denver on winning the tickets for Suddenly Sonoma, Definitely Denver. But more tickets, we'll be doing more tickets as we continue. So one of the things we talked about yesterday is putting Reagan on a dime, taking Franklin Delano Roosevelt off the dime. Somebody writes in to say, only if Bonzo, you can only put Reagan on the front if Bonzo is on the back. I get this email. You quoted the Bible to accommodate your twisted point of view. This is from Richard. You are wrong. It does not refer to idols, but false gods. And then he gives a biblical citation. And since you imported religion into this conversation, let me assist you. And then he gives another biblical citation. For even when we were with you, this we command you, and so on and so on. If you were to stick to a moral obligation, you would tell all of your liberal welfare leeching, tax-stealing cronies to go out and get a job. And then he ends his email to me by saying, I would be more than willing to help you study and become less ignorant of the Bible. So let me ask you this. People who are Bible thumpers, are they this nasty usually? Talking about your liberal welfare leeching tax-stealing cronies, that I have a twisted point of view? And this is a person who calls himself a biblical, like a Bible thumper, a biblical scholar, if you will. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
If a radio station solicits your call, shouldn't they let you speak? We will. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, it's the Ovaltine Man. Kids all across America drink Ovaltine with milk because...
we love its rich chocolate taste.
But why do so many adults drink it?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine is high in calcium and antioxidants, like vitamins A, C, and E. Plus, it has iron I need, which I can't get from Nesquik powder or milk alone.
I drink Ovaltine every day. It's chock-filled with 17 vitamins and minerals. Nesquik powder doesn't come close.
So no matter how old you are, there are great nutritional reasons to drink rich chocolate Ovaltine.
More Ovaltine, please!
Hi, this is Doug Kelly. Joining me now is Brenda at Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits. Brenda, I thought this time we would play a little food and wine association.
Okay, Doug, I'm game.
All right, I'll give you the food. You tell me the great wine to go with it, okay? How about duck breast?
Let's do a Spanish pirato. How about ambrugge?
Sounds good. How about sea scallops wrapped in bacon?
Crisp Pinot Grigio, nice and crisp and refreshing.
Bratwurst.
Bratwurst? Well, that's not a wine. Oh, you got to do beer with bratwurst. How about Utenos, Lithuanian beer, or... better yet, flag porter. Yummy.
Lamb chops.
California Zinfandel. Dash California Zinfandel would be perfect with lamb chops.
Now, one everybody would want to know about, pizza.
Oh, lots of options for pizza. You could do a Primitivo. You could do a Sangiovese out of Tuscany, Italy.
I bet you've got one for sushi, too, don't you?
Champagne or sparkling wine. It's a great pair.
I knew you'd have the answer. Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits, located 12th and Broadway.
Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, where variety, pricing, and convenience intersect at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8437.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Want to make a difference for thousands of homeless animals in our community? Tune in and pledge your support for the Dumb Friends League annual Pledges for Pets Telethon, Sunday, January 25th from 2 to 6 p.m. on KTVD-TV UPN 20. Your support will help the Dumb Friends League care for thousands of homeless animals and provide many services that help people and pets throughout Colorado. For more information on Pledges for Pets Sunday, January 25th, visit the league's website at ddfl.org.
If you want to avoid an expensive repair job on your car's automatic transmission, get to AutoZone and change your transmission fluid every 2 years or 24,000 miles. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Dr. Yuki hosts the exciting The Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, airing live Saturdays at 2 p.m. on KNRC. The show is a zany, fast trip into the hilarious and fascinating world of animals. Learn unusual facts about the critters with which we share our world. Callers can win prizes during the Pet Trivia Challenge, and lots of fun is in store. Don't miss the fast-paced, action-packed hour of fun and hilarity with Dr. Yuki and The Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, Saturdays at 2 on KNRC.
Hi, I'm Dominic Brasha.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1252 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Oh, Jordan does such great music, and he's so great on the air. Have you heard him on KCUV, our own Jordan Lyles? What time are you on, Jordan? Tell me. 12 to 2 on Sundays, noon to 2 on Sundays. He is great. He's so talented. He does a lot of different things, and he's a great musician, too, and has a great musical ear. So Jordan Lyles, he has many identities. I'm not going to tell you all of them. News, I am going to do the Fox News thing on, I'm going to be on national television on Saturday, and I have to be nuts to do this because I'm going to Venice 2 days later. I will do the show on Monday. But Monday night, I fly to Venice for a week, and there are a number of people who are going to fill in for me. Judy and Evelinda, the Style Twins, are going to be filling in for me. Tom Reed, T.R. Reed from the Washington Post, who is the Rocky Mountain Bureau Chief, and he was the London Bureau Chief, and I think the Tokyo Bureau Chief. He's going to be filling in for me. And I think Jerome is going to be filling in for me as well, Jerome Davis. I hope I've got that right. And then I will be back with you a week later. So just to let you know that I'm going to be in, but I'm going to be on television, and you can watch the show. It's called Heartland. And John Kasich is the host. He's a former Ohio congressman. It's from 6 to 7 p.m., and I'll probably be in there from the 6:30 to 7 o'clock segment, but I don't really know. And it's usually, you know, this is one of these things where you spend all day getting ready for it, and it's over. It's like sex, which is what Gore Vidal said. Never turn down an opportunity to have sex or go on TV. And they're a lot alike because you spend all day getting ready, and it's over in 3.5 minutes. And they've got me up against Mike Gallagher. I don't know if anybody, if you have heard Mike Gallagher, but he can really be a bully. He's a big old nasty old windbag, and he lost a lot of weight, so he's going to try and rip my eyeballs out. And possibly he will succeed, so we need all the support we can get here. Anyway, that's this coming Saturday. Giving you a heads up, and I imagine what we'll be talking about are politics in one way or another, possibly the Iowa caucuses. As I know more, I will share it with you. But that's this coming Saturday, 6 to 7 p.m. is the program, and I will be one of the guests on that program. Dean's lead is shrinking in Iowa. Kerry is gaining. This is a Zogby poll, but everybody is saying it's almost impossible to poll the Iowa caucus because of the arcane and odd and very Baroque way the whole thing is constructed. But Democratic presidential frontrunner Howard Dean has held a shrinking lead, has held a shrinking 3-point lead. And John Kerry has moved into a dead heat with Richard Gephardt. I don't exactly know what coming out ahead in the Iowa caucus really means in any long-term situation, because I think Dick Gephardt won the Iowa caucus years ago and nothing much happened for him. And you have got Howard Dean with a huge base of supporters and a very passionate base of supporters, a lot of internet presence for Howard Dean, people who really adore him, and the mainstream media is really trying to tear him down the way they did with Al Gore. Remember, they made up these lies that for some reason stuck, that Al Gore went around, you know, being very pomposo and saying that he created the internet and all this kind of stuff, and just being inflated, being pompous and inflated. But here is Howard Dean being what I consider to be angry, and for all the right reasons. And then you have everybody attacking Howard Dean, all of his competitors here. You have Dick Gephardt, who called Howard Dean a fair-weather friend of the American worker whose promises can't be trusted and whose motives must be questioned. Now, this is the same Dick Gephardt who signed on to the war, who has signed on to a lot of things that have undermined Americans, and he is saying this about Howard Dean. Dick Gephardt, by the way, for whatever it's worth, like Dick Cheney, has a daughter who is a lesbian. Howard Dean travels the country, he says, and yells and pounds a podium against NAFTA, against the secrecy of the Bush-Cheney White House, and against insider corporate deals. Dick Gephardt says this is the same Howard Dean who said he strongly supported NAFTA. Well, you know what? You can change your mind. So what's the big deal here? I think, indeed, Dick Gephardt has done a lot more to hurt the American worker lately than Howard Dean has. In January of 2003, Howard Dean's campaign only had $157,000 in the bank, 7 members on the staff, and little name recognition. This is just about a year ago. 1 year ago, he had $157,000 in the bank, 7 members on the staff, and almost nobody knew who he was. A year later, he has broken Bill Clinton's fundraising records for a Democratic candidate, has an army of energized supporters, and has the lead in the race for his party's presidential nomination. What changed? Howard Dean discovered the internet. With the help of his net-savvy campaign manager, Howard Dean is revolutionizing American politics. The internet has played an increasing role in elections over the last 8 years. Jesse Ventura, who was a wrestler and became governor of Minnesota, used email to fuel his insurgent candidacy, and Maverick John McCain raised $2 million online after his victory over George Bush in the 2000 New Hampshire primary. But it is Howard Dean and his campaign manager, Joe Trippi, who have used the internet to vault out of obscurity into the lead over several more well-known opponents. Mr. Trippi quit college in 1979 to work for Ted Kennedy's presidential campaign and has never completely got politics out of his blood since. He has worked for the presidential campaigns of Walter Mondale, Gary Hart, and Dick Gephardt. So he has worked for Dick Gephardt, and now, of course, Dick Gephardt and now tied with John Kerry are coming up hard and fast behind Howard Dean in the Iowa caucus. But this is really amazing. We'll see what happens here. A lot of mainstream Democrats are getting really nervous about voting for Howard Dean. But I can't imagine having a worse president in office than George W. Bush. I just can't. He seems to be a cipher who is well in hand by the powers who really run the White House. I think he's just a hood ornament. I think he's an ambulatory logo for that whole agenda. And I think he's really dangerous. And I really hate to come to that conclusion, but I think he's probably the most dangerous president I can ever recall. What do you think? When we continue, as we continue in the next hour, we're going to have Jared Ewey on. He won one of the prizes. He won one of the awards in the MoveOn Best Youth Ad in MoveOn.org's competition. We'll talk to him, see how it feels to be a winner. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live right here on
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon, sunny, 58 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the 17 John Elway AutoNation showrooms. The State Patrol is investigating an accident in Boulder that hospitalized five occupants of an SUV. According to witnesses at the scene this morning, a Boulder Valley School District bus ran a stop sign and smashed into a Cadillac Escalade. The mishap occurred in a residential area near 76th Street and South Boulder Road. Six children on the bus were not hurt, but the driver received some minor injuries. Senior Colorado Department of Revenue official has been placed on paid leave as part of a probe looking into the charges of alleged gift-giving by vendors who wanted to do business with the Colorado Lottery. George Turner has been an employee of the Revenue Department for nearly 30 years. He's the Director of Enforcement and has been one of the department's four top lieutenants. He has been in charge of overseeing the state's gaming and racing divisions. He also oversaw the Colorado Lottery and its director. The investigation has led to some officials' resignations and to charges against some other officials. The head of the Colorado-based National Cattlemen's Beef Association says beef prices will probably fall because of the mad cow disease scare. Gary Cowman says because there is excess inventory, which can't be exported, prices will probably start to come down. Cowman spoke at a forum on mad cow disease at the National Western Stock Show yesterday. He says perfecting the technology to trace the identity of every U.S.-born cow will take some time.
Even those that work closely with it realize that we're going to start this summer identifying ID, but there'll still be some challenges, and I don't say problems, but challenges to work out for the next couple, two or three years.
Swift & Company Vice President Mark Gustafson says the American beef industry has done a good job of addressing the latest outbreak of mad cow.
We caught this case. We found it. Our surveillance system is working. We've traced it back to a Canadian origin. So the system is working.
Colorado U.S. Senator Wayne Allard was at the forum also and says Americans should not be afraid to eat beef. Meanwhile, the National Western Stock Show is a success so far, thanks to great weather and big crowds. Tonight is the final go-round in the PBR Bull Riders competition at the National Western Stock Show. Over the past 2 days, 45 riders have been competing for a share of $130,000. Tonight, the top 15 riders from the first 2 days of competition will face the rankest bulls at the show. The bulls are judged as much as the riders. Riders with the most active bulls making it into the final round. Shoots open at 7:30 tonight. President Bush is about to reveal his new space initiative. The ambitious proposal will call for a return of U.S. flights to the moon and the future human exploration of Mars. White House spokesman Scott McClellan says the U.S. has had great success in space, yet there is much to explore and learn.
And the president will also talk about how the long-term vision he outlines is a journey, not a race anymore, that we want to pursue together with other nations in a spirit of cooperation and friendship.
The proposal calls for raising NASA's budget by 5% per year over the next 3 years. Some critics say it's not feasible because of exploding federal deficits and the growing costs of the war against terrorism. McClellan argued that the U.S. must continue to pursue new frontiers and seek further discoveries. Scott Peterson will stand trial for the murders of his pregnant wife and their unborn son. That was the decision made today by a judge in Stanislaus County, California, who denied a defense motion to dismiss the charges against Peterson. It's brutally cold across New England, but temperatures at the top of Mount Washington near North Conway, New Hampshire, take the cake. Pete Sweeney works as an observer on top of the mountain, taking the hourly temperature.
Well, currently on the summit of Mount Washington, it's warmed up to 37 below zero. Last night it got to 44 below, but our wind chill factors are still below 90 below zero. Wind speeds have dropped to about 75, but we still have gusts into the 90 miles per hour range.
Sweeney says no one goes outside much. He says a record was broken for yesterday's date with a new low of 41 below zero. Sweeney expects more record-breaking cold on Friday. He says while it's extremely cold on top of Mount Washington during any given winter, it's been unusually cold because of an Arctic air mass that moved in behind the last cold front. On Wall Street, stocks continue their upward moves. At the latest check, the Dow is up more than 93 points, the NASDAQ up nearly 10, the S&P 500 up just about 7. In sports, the Denver Nuggets take on the L.A. Lakers tonight in Los Angeles. Last Wednesday at the Pepsi Center, Nuggets beat the Lakers. Denver's coming off their 105-92 win over the Phoenix Suns last night. No game for the Colorado Avalanche tonight. They'll be back on the ice tomorrow night at the Pepsi Center against the Dallas Stars. Avs beat the Mighty Ducks 3-1 last night. At John L. Elway Showrooms, you get a certified used vehicle with a 99-day warranty and a money-back guarantee. There are no worries at all when you get a John Elway certified used vehicle, honest. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Join the Colorado Symphony Orchestra for a fairy tale program featuring Ravel's Mother Goose and excerpts from Prokofiev's Cinderella on January 16th, 17th, and 18th at Betcher Concert Hall. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland now at the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by RAD, and really not doing very badly around the metro area at all. We do have a slowing I-25 either direction to Colorado, some normal slowing I-25 right at the right northbound right through the Tech Center, as well as southbound 225 onto I-25, so watch for that. RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving, says, don't take your lifestyle on the road. Designate before you celebrate. Learn more at rad.org. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our trend for this unseasonally mild weather is going to last a couple of more days. We'll have lots of sunshine today with a high right around 60. Mainly clear tonight, lows in the upper 20s and upper 30s near the foothills. Partly cloudy tomorrow, highs in the upper 50s, upper 40s on Friday with a mix of sun and clouds. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 58 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Lots of announcements to make. We're going to be giving out more tickets to Suddenly Sonoma, Definitely Denver, a wine tasting that's going to happen. 80 different wines from Sonoma Vintners, and that's this coming Friday. Also tickets to Queen Noor. I'm going to be on Fox News, national television, on Saturday night sometime between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. on the John Kasich Show up against Mike Gallagher, who's going to try to rip my eyeballs out in front of everybody, and I hope he's not successful. So I'll give you more information as as we go along. And I'm nuts to do it because I go to Italy in 2 days, and so I really have got a lot of things to do to wrap it all up. But but I'm doing it anyway. And with us, somebody who's a friend of KNRC's, Jared Ewey. Jared, thank you so much for joining us. If the name isn't familiar, he has won, along with Charlie Fisher, two of the top awards that MoveOn.org has given out. Tell us about it, Jared.
Man, it is fabulous. I had no idea the breadth and scope of this contest. And, ranting and raving against Bush is something I do every day. And to put it on film and then to go to this amazing gala ceremony in New York City and meet the people that I've met and be interviewed by the people that I've talked with, it's really impressive.
All right, take us back to the beginning. MoveOn.org is a website.
Yeah, MoveOn.org, a website that, just how a lot of this can start on the web. I mean, just how Howard Dean has done so well with the web. It was really just a couple forwards from the founders, and it grew into kind of an informational newsletter that I think mostly concentrated on which politician was getting which big money, to help the little people like ourselves make decisions. And now it's turned into, there's multi-million membership sites that delivers news updates, and of course recently had the Bush in 30 Seconds contest.
Okay, so now they put out a contest, do Bush in 30 seconds. What are some of the other guidelines? Other than you got to do it in 30 seconds, it's got to be video. Is that it?
Well, there's more. You had to do it in 30 seconds, and because of whatever their federal funding guidelines are, you couldn't either promote to get him out of office or somehow, promote another candidate to be in, go Kucinich, Bush out. It had to be educational on what you knew, a credible news and facts on what Bush had done, and maybe even positive. I didn't see a lot of that, but mostly what Bush had done to hurt this country.
Well, we know about Charlie Fisher, who won the main award, I guess, and that is he's showing who's going to pay for the tax cuts. You got a lot of background noise there. Where are you?
Oh, I work in radio as well, so I'm sitting out in a park because they kind of frown on me interviewing with other stations.
Oh, all right. All right. Anyway, so Charlie Fisher wins it. It's a spot in which the people who are going to pay for this deficit are little kids dressed as adults doing adult jobs, which was really powerful. And you won the award for best youth ad. Is that it?
Yeah, I don't even really know what the category means. At first, I thought they thought I was a kid. And when I talked to the Move On organizers, they said that they liked so many spots so much. And they only had those original 12 finalists, and they had so many votes for my ad and some other ads in the best humor category, best animation category, that they created another category for the ad that would best target the youth demographic.
Oh, all right. Now, do you have any background in doing ads?
Well, I do a lot of radio ads, and I tell you where this came from.
But this is visual. This is visual. Do you have much background doing TV ads?
Yeah, some TV ads. I've done some TV, I've done some short films, that kind of thing. I'm certainly not any kind of flamboyant actor by any means, but I worked for the Democrats a couple of years ago, and a lot of the ads that they were doing, I thought were about as hard-hitting as John Tesh, and I wanted to put together an ad and maybe put together a trust somehow where we could do ads that explained what was going on in this country and get them on some of the mainstream media. And then this contest came about and did it for me.
Jared, if the Democrats don't jump on you for having won this contest to do ads, I think they're missing a huge bet. Describe what your ad consists of. It's you on camera.
Yeah. Yes. I guess to give some people a visual, I've been compared to Dennis Leary a lot in some of the ranting he used to do in his early stand-up days.
Are you talking about Dennis Miller?
No, actually Dennis Leary.
Dennis Leary, okay.
Oh, man. He's been in a couple. Actually, it's a lot like Dennis Miller, too. But here I am out near, we filmed it out near Bear Creek Park out in Lakewood, near Lakewood. And Angel Sexton is a great videographer. And Drew Adams was, assistant director. And I got these guys from a film school here locally. And in one take, I was walking along, and I pretty much said this. I can almost give you the straight audio if you want it.
Yeah.
Verbatim. Here I am walking along, and we filmed it, and I simply say, bring it on, our soldiers in the hotbed of hate, and you say, bring it on, to people who accessorize with dynamite? I mean, why don't you throw in a camel joke while you're at it? Oh, and you know what I really like? Is you say you support the troops, but then you try to sneak in a combat pay cut. And, this is great. You lie about the war ending, and you lie about the fact that you need to land from a jump jet to an aircraft carrier, so you blow our money on a photo op, so Osama bin Laden, and jobs are gone, and you're just wasting taxpayer money. And it goes on and on just to say, essentially it wraps up saying, so go ahead, Bush. you know, spend our millions on your propaganda, hide the evidence in your daddy's library, but the voters know, so bring it on.
Very good. Oh, Jared, I'm applauding you. That is so terrific. And I saw the ad, too, just a few minutes ago.
Well, yeah, they can see the, if you want to see the ad, people, they can go to moveon.org, and I think if you have QuickTime, and actually my website, eweradio.com, for Windows Media Player.
All right, E-W-Y is how you spell it.
Yeah, E-W-Y-radio.com.
E-W-Y.
Yeah, Y isn't yak.
Okay.
Yeah, my last name is always a point of confusion, three letters of massive chaos. But eweradio.com, and then there's another site, outrageradio.com, which was going to link to it. Where I do some parody news there. And
all right, now what happened? How did you hear the news that you had won? Who called you?
It was so weird. I entered the commercial, and when I did so, I checked the site, and there was 1,500 entrants. So I gave up. I thought, you know, that... I don't think I can compete with these people. Some of them are angrier than I am. And I was sitting at home just 5 days ago, and I called, and they said, we'd like to bring you to New York City because you're a finalist. And I still didn't realize that I had a chance to win until the beautiful actress Julia Stiles announced that I had won. And the next thing you know, I was on stage with Al Franken and Moby. And now I'm at a park bench with a Federal Express van driving by me, and so quickly we fall.
But, is there any money to this prize or simply the recognition?
You know, really the recognition, I haven't seen any money yet.
Yeah, but you know what? I think you will. I think people will start to call you to do stuff, Jared. I hope that that's the case. I think this is just fabulous.
Oh, I really hope so. You know, I've had some success in media, and I've always had a hard time parlaying it into financial rewards. I think mostly because I'm a liberal, and I just lack that Republican vigor for money. I don't know what it is. I'm just such a wimp when it comes to capitalism. So, but I hope this this turns into something for because I'm doing it not for money, but I'm doing it because, I mean, we real patriots in this country are concerned about America, and what we're going to do is show that we've got some problems that need to be taken care of.
Jared Ewey, thank you so much for joining us today. Congratulations to you, hometown boy, made good.
Winning
this MoveOn.org contest.
Yeah.
I think that is so fabulous. And well, how much did it cost you to do this thing?
I did the ad for pretty much free. I had to buy a couple CD-ROMs or whatever to burn it on, and the people that helped me.
Everybody contributed?
Drew Adams and Angel Sexton donated their time, and if somebody needs a great film team, call them up or call me, and we'll hook you up with them. And mostly for free, and then they're going to reimburse, I think, part of the trip to New York City. So,
did you have to pay for going to New York?
They're going to reimburse some of it. Yes.
My God! They bring you to New York for this honor, and they don't send you a ticket?
Oh, I hope they do.
But it's a great honor.
Yeah.
And what were you going to say about the show? Something?
Oh, I don't know. Actually, it was kind of a delayed honeymoon for my wife and I, so it was good.
Okay.
It worked out well. And so, yeah, I hope you're right.
Who are some of the high-level judges? Margaret Cho was one of them.
Margaret Cho, Janine Garofalo, who was hilarious, Moby, who was an incredible musician, Al Franken, who's pretty much like the left-wing Jesus, and Michael Moore, who might be the Moses, and Jack Black, the comedian, Jessica Lange.
Really? Was she there?
They announced me as a winner, I went on stage and saw all these incredible people on stage with me and really lost my mind and gave a long, expansive, verbose acceptance speech, which I don't quite remember, and I'm probably glad that I don't. But it was fun.
Jared, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on your win, and I think good things are going to be happening for you.
I hope so, too. I really appreciate the station and your show, and do some work there on Fox News.
Oh, well, if Gallagher doesn't try to rip out my lungs by the roots.
That's all right. You got him.
We'll see about that. Thanks, Jared.
I see you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Isn't that wonderful? What a great story. He just took a flyer. He did it on his own dime, even going to New York pretty much on his own dime. And he's one of the big winners of MoveOn.org, the competition for Bush in 30 seconds. Fabulous job. What a great story. I love hearing it. Okay. Some details from yesterday, emails that people have sent me. I caught a few minutes of your show yesterday. This is from Richard. I heard you said say that while President Reagan was still in office, his staff used cue cards to prompt him to say things like, hello, I'm Ron Reagan, etc. That is an outrageous, vicious, hateful lie. I served President Reagan as U.S. attorney from Wyoming for his entire time in office. I saw him up close and personal many times, including at DOJ in 86 and at the White House in 87. I assure you that he needed no cue cards, no teleprompter, no notes to discuss complex policy issues. Why would anyone want to start such an outrageous lie, and why would you want to perpetuate it? The Democratic Party is becoming more extreme, more elite, and more hateful. Otherwise, thoughtful, decent men like Joe Lieberman would be the front runner instead of angry Howard. That's why, that may be why fewer than 31% of Americans now identify themselves as Democrats. Well, let me just tell you, it was widely reported. That's all I can say, Richard. I wasn't there. You were at the White House. I was not. But I can remember reading reports saying very odd things like he needed cue cards to say very basic stuff. And then sometime later, when it was announced that he had Alzheimer's, then suddenly the picture all fit together. Also received this email from Eugene. Eugene says, why they had to remove the Ten Commandments in the Alabama Judicial Courts building. The real reason was that we can't have the Ten Commandments in a courthouse. You cannot post, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not lie in a building full of lawyers, judges, and politicians. It creates a hostile work environment. Ha, ha, ha. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Top radio talk show host, definitely Enid Goldstein, says the Rocky Mountain News. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live. It's the new year. How about a new you?
Aspen Grove, the fabulous open-air shopping center located at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton, is sponsoring the New Year, New You Makeover for one lucky man or woman or a couple. Winners will receive new hairstyles from Avalon Day Spa, makeup by the professionals at Origins, and a dinner for two on Valentine's Day for your reveal.
And that's not all. Each winner will receive a $1,000 shopping spree at Aspen Grove.
To enter, write 50 words or less on why you deserve this makeover. Include your photo. Drop this off at the Aspen Grove Management Office or the J. Crew store.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6. Call them at 303-794-0640. 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
No purchase necessary. Employees and family members of KNRC and Aspen Grove Management are ineligible. Qualifiers will be chosen at random. Entries must be received by February 6th at the Aspen Grove Management Office or Aspen Grove J. Crew store. For complete rules, stop at the Aspen Grove Management Office.
I own a chain of spas. We offer mud baths, hydrotherapy, everything to de-stress our clients. So if we run into a cash flow problem, the last thing we want is to start stressing out ourselves.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of OPEN, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It's very calming.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Tonight on Court TV, an all-new, all-real Forensic Files. The heat is on investigators to solve a double homicide.
When they arrived, they had fire blowing out windows and doors.
The only clues, an old sneaker, a broken pair of glasses, and a cigarette butt.
The gasoline had to be ignited by something.
Can detectives sift through the ashes and uncover the truth?
There is no such thing as a perfect crime. There's always evidence left.
Find out on Forensic Files tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific, only on Court TV, the investigation channel.
Some people prefer the right wing. Others prefer the left wing. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. Our diverse lineup of talk show hosts features more viewpoints and perspectives than any other Denver talk station. Join Greg Dobbs from 6 to 10 a.m. Bill O'Reilly from 10 till noon. Enid Goldstein from noon to 3. Doug Kellett from 3 to 6. Dominic and Bill from 6 to 9 p.m. Lionel from 9 to midnight, followed by Alan Combs. Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
122 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. We have a lot to talk about, so let's get to it. Bush is planning a $1.5 billion drive to promote marriage, mostly among the lower classes. Why should we spend $1.5 billion to promote marriage when half of the marriages end up in divorce? And what business is it of the government's anyway? Yes, we want a more stable environment. You get to be married as long as you're not gay, as long as you're not marrying another person of your own sex, whatever sex that may be. There used to be only two when I was growing up, but now there are a lot of gears between park and neutral in life, and I'm getting confused. Administration officials say that they are planning an extensive election year initiative to promote marriage. This is called pandering to your base. Especially among low-income couples. Now, why among low-income couples? Because they do the same thing as high-income couples, but they don't have the income to support it. They too breed like rabbits, or they don't care if they're married or they're single parents. Is that, what is that? Of getting to low-income couples trying to drive the promotion of marriage. How would you do that, for one thing? What would you do? Have classes in how marriage is a great thing? I've never been married. I don't feel deprived, remotely deprived. In fact, there are plenty of marriages of my friends that I'm around where I can't wait to get home and get away from the bickering of the Bickersons. Have you ever been around people like that? It is so uncomfortable. You don't know what to say. What do you do in a case like that? $1.5 billion. I really would rather see the money go to healthcare, education, creating jobs, if that's even possible to do. For months, administration officials have worked with conservative groups. Well, how come only conservative groups? Is it that progressives are not interested in marriage? They get married too, as far as I know. The administration has worked with conservative groups on this proposal, which would provide at least $1.5 billion for training to help couples develop interpersonal skills that sustain, quote, healthy marriages. Can you train for this? We are the most shrunk culture, and by that I mean everybody goes to shrinks. We have counselors. We have therapists. You can't turn on a talk show without encountering one of these people. And we still have the highest divorce rate probably in our history. People didn't get divorced in the olden days for a lot of reasons. First of all, women didn't have the wherewithal to support themselves. And so they stuck around in marriages that might not have been too perky to begin with. And, you know, there was a study that they did a while back, as I recall. They interviewed couples who've been married 50 years or longer to find out what the secret was of their success. You want to know what they found out? Some of these couples hated each other's guts, and the only reason they stayed together was that the idea of marriage was stronger to them than the idea of personal happiness. So people can stay married together and be completely miserable. On the other hand, you have research that tells us that if you get divorced in your marriage, they research people, those who hit a rough patch and got divorced, and those who hit a rough patch and stayed together. And if you were one of the ones who got divorced in that rough patch, and they surveyed you about 5 or 6 years later, you're sorry that you got divorced, a lot of cases. The people who stayed together usually tended to work out better for them than the people who got divorced. And today, we are such a consumer mentality that you go to a party and they're already looking over your shoulder for somebody cuter and, you know, better. It's like when you buy a computer. 5 seconds after you bought it, there's a better model already on the market. And I think we kind of look at our relationships that way. You can find somebody better. You hate to make a commitment. You can always find somebody better. And if they just look cross-eyed at you while you're married to them, that's it. You're out of there. Buster. So here is Bush planning $1.5 billion, and that's with a B. Here, we're sending people to Mars. By the way, I don't mind that. I think the first person on the way to Mars ought to be you-know-who in the White House. But I love those pictures that are coming back from Mars. Wow, does that look interesting? What an environment to put up billboards. Oh, my goodness. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. So especially among the low income, why would that be? Because they don't want him to be a drag on the welfare system. It plays to Bush's desire to be viewed as a compassionate conservative. A lot of conservatives are very pleased with this healthy marriage initiative. The proposal is a type of relatively inexpensive but politically potent initiative that appeals to White House officials at a time when they are squeezed by growing federal budget deficits. So they want to take your attention away from the fact that you can't get a job, that there are these enormous deficits, that little children who you're tucking into bed at night are going to be the ones to pay for it, and it's going to affect their future big time. And we could very easily run the risk of becoming a banana republic. It also plays to Bush's desire to be viewed as a compassionate conservative, an image he sought to cultivate in the 2000 campaign. This year, administration officials said George Bush will probably visit programs trying to raise marriage rates in poor neighborhoods. So what if you raise, if your heart's not in it and you're going to get married, you're only going to have a divorce rate. I don't know if you can do this. Can you do this? Just like couples who go to couples counseling when a marriage gets into trouble. If they don't want to work it out, they're never going to work it out. And I don't know how many counselors are very successful in getting people to work it out. The president loves to do this sort of thing in the inner city with black churches, and he's very good at it, a White House aide said. In the last few years, some liberals have also expressed interest in marriage education programs. They say a growing body of statistical evidence suggests that children fare best financially, emotionally, in married two-parent families. I agree with that. That's why I don't like to see middle-class women who are never going to get married but do not want the to miss the experience of having a child amble on down to the Nobel Prize-winning sperm bank with their turkey baster in their hands because they're going to have a child and immediately, from the get-go, deprive the child of a father. I don't think it's fair to the kid. Kids do better when they are in two-parent environments. How you create that, I don't know, because a lot of kids are being raised in single-parent environments and they're not getting enough attention, and they're not therefore doing so well emotionally, and they're not doing so well in school. And then a lot of you who are big daycare proponents, you think it's a great idea to throw those kids for the first X number of years of their lives in daycare, where, as one psychiatrist we had on who's very opposed to the idea, says these little kids are taking on everybody else's emotional stuff in daycare. You're dealing with all these other personalities. It's overwhelming to a child who is trying to develop his own emotional wherewithal. So a lot of you hate it when I say this. But I think I'm telling you the truth. You just don't want to hear it. A lot of people feel guilty that they have to leave their children at home, or they've rationalized it away. And we are a society that lets you get away with this. It used to be that people would raise their... I know of a case, would raise their eyebrows. I know of a case where it's a commuter marriage, where the mom is in one state and the dad is in another state, where the dad has the kids who are very young, I'd say 5 or 6 years old. The mom flies in to see them on weekends. The mom's got a high-powered career. The dad's got a high-powered career. And the kids, you know, don't see mom except on the weekends, which I think is tough enough. And then I heard another part of the story, which was these kids are, you know, conceived in vitro. So, or they had a surrogate mom delivered. So, I mean, I don't exactly know what relationship these children are to the parents in the first place, but they're kind of conceived, in a fertilization clinic or however that's done. I don't exactly know how that's done. And somebody else delivered the children, and the mom is doing her career in one place, and the dad is doing his career in another place, and the kids are with the dad, and the mom flies in from time to time or every weekend. I don't think that's a fair arrangement to the kids, to tell you the truth. I think they're going to suffer by it. Maybe they're doing just fine. I mean, what do I know? I don't know the family, really. It's only a story I've heard about. 303-382-1150. What are your feelings about Bush planning a $1.5 billion drive for the promotion of marriage? It's like partial birth abortion or late-term abortion. It's a way to deflect your attention. It's a way to move your attention away from horrible, stupefying deficits. Are you going to let him get away with it? And is it possible to improve the landscape for marriage in this country? What would you really have to do to improve the landscape for marriage? 303-382-1150. Also, front page of the New York Times today. Saddam Hussein warned his Iraqi supporters to be wary of joining forces with foreign Arab fighters entering Iraq to battle American troops. This, according to a document found with the former Iraqi leader when he was captured. So he wrote this, the document apparently is a directive written after Saddam Hussein lost power. It's from Saddam Hussein to leaders of the Iraqi resistance, and it counsels caution about getting too close to Islamic jihadists and other foreign Arabs coming into occupied Iraq. According to American officials, it provides a second, now here's the blockbuster, get ready for this, it provides a second piece of evidence challenging the Bush administration contention of close cooperation between Saddam Hussein's government and terrorists from al-Qaeda. CIA interrogators have already elicited from the top Qaeda officials in custody that before the American-led invasion, Osama bin Laden had rejected entreaties from some of his lieutenants to work jointly with Saddam Hussein. You know why? Because Saddam Hussein is secular and Osama bin Laden is not secular, and the lieutenants tried to get the two of them together, and neither one was having it. Neither one of those guys wanted to work with each other. So that business about Al-Qaeda being finding a safe haven in Iraq, complete bogus, another bogus reason for why we went to war. 303-382-1150. Charlie, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well, Charlie.
Good. First of all, just like clear the air here, I've been married for 35 years.
Okay.
But I think this Bush thing is his $1.5 billion on marriage is a sign of the silly season, which seems to happen about every 4 years, where we talk about such urgent issues as marriage and the pledge to the flag, or as Clinton did in 96 about school uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are non-issues. What is the government going to do to keep anybody married, for crying out loud?
Well, that's it.
Nuts.
They're going to install themselves little speakerphones in your bedroom and monitor what's going on here. They're going to make a rule that you got to have sex so many times a week.
Oh, well, maybe Cheney would. Who knows? I'm sorry. Maybe what's his name?
Free government-issued Viagra to help in the proceedings.
Yeah. And this, of course, is from the party that wants smaller government.
Smaller government, and they're not supposed to be in your bedroom. You guys, you Second Amendment guys there, you get your guns all the ready in case government barges through your door? Forget about it. They're not going to come in that way. They're coming in through the Patriot Act. They're coming in by telling you about your marriage and what you got to do to keep it going and who knows what else.
That's exactly right. And I would like to see a breakdown of how much of this money Jerry Falwell is getting, how much, you know, Pat Robertson gets. And groups like that.
Well, Pat Robertson is busy praying for the Supreme Court to drop dead in mass so that he can get better rulings out of them. But, Charlie, these are excellent questions, and I thank you for asking them. 303-382-1150. Jerry and Parker, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I think that Charlie's right, that this is another way of getting more faith-based groups, giving those people more money, and also appeasing the right wing. There's going to be, maybe, hopefully, there's going to be opposition to this in the legislature.
But yeah, but who's going to oppose marriage? I mean, what of our spine, our wimpy
politicians.
Yeah, our spineless politicians. Yeah, they're going to get up there and say something bad about marriage? Forget it. And they're going to think, oh, you know what, in the grand scheme of things, what's $1.5 billion?
Oh, my gosh, I hope not, because, I mean, that's their best argument, and their most cogent argument is that we just don't have money for this crap. I mean, why don't we put the money in Head Start, which, by the way, certainly daycare from 7 in the morning till 7 at night is a horrible idea, but young children have been really helped by programs like Head Start, which socialize them and educate them at a very young age. So, I mean, you know, you can talk about the problems of daycare, but you can also talk about the advantages, especially in single-parent households, where what is the alternative? Staying home alone or staying home with an abusive step-parent.
I wish that birth control, I mean, these are the people who don't want to make birth control more available. It is
right.
Much better for a kid to be in a stable home with a mom and a dad. That is really a better situation for children. And I just say, if you're not ready to have children, if you're not equipped for it, but you want to start wiggle in the backseat of somebody's car at an early age, get yourself equipped with birth control, whatever it takes. And
yeah.
There should be a wide distribution of birth control devices.
Well, I mean, I think that would be the best way to support marriages would be to make it universally available and certainly to cover it on insurance policies. It's absurd that we cover Viagra and don't cover, you know, birth control on a lot of insurance policies. So, yeah, I mean, rather than this stupid marriage counseling, why don't we provide people with the tools to be independent, give them an education, give them, you know, the control over their own body.
Hear, hear, Jerry. I'm with
yeah.
you, and I thank you for the call. And I want to say something else, too. This kind of stuff that the government is proposing to be taught in schools, this is the kind of stuff that's supposed to come out of your family home. When I was in Spain a while back, there was one cooking school in the whole of Spain. Why? Because you weren't supposed to go to cooking school. You learned to cook at home. In your family, from your family is how you learn to cook. Now, maybe that situation has most likely changed because it's been a while since I've been in Spain. But again, the values that lead to whether you're going to take marriage seriously, all of that stuff, how to negotiate emotional situations. This is the stuff you're supposed to learn at home. And more stuff isn't being taught at home because more and more it's overwhelming if there's only a single parent, even when there are two parents and they both have to work, bringing in the paycheck that, you know, one salary used to be able to do it. Now it takes two salaries very often to do it. So nobody's really imparting a lot of stuff to kids. I think we're, you know, I don't know. What's going to happen to these kids? Are they going to grow up and be savages? Who knows? 303-382-1150. You know, there's a lot of incivility going on. Where's that coming from? I mean, at Goldstein, you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 1:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Sunny, 58 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Taco Bell. A state Senate committee yesterday voted in favor of saying that obesity is a personal problem, not the fault of the corporation. The proposal, which now goes to the full state Senate, would prevent people from suing fast food restaurants over weight gain from the food. So far, there have been no such lawsuits filed in the state. Former U.S. Senator Gary Hart hasn't yet decided whether he'll challenge Ben Nighthorse Campbell for his Senate seat. Hart has already served two terms in the U.S. Senate and also ran for president. Hart says the Democratic Party leadership has asked him to run. Six people were injured in an accident in Boulder this morning involving an SUV and a school bus. Witnesses say a Boulder Valley School District bus ran a stop sign and crashed into the Cadillac Escalade. Five people in the SUV went to the hospital while the bus driver received minor injuries. Six kids on the bus were not hurt. In sports, the Denver Nuggets take on the L.A. Lakers tonight in Los Angeles. Last Wednesday, the Nuggets beat the Lakers in Denver. Savory, satisfying, and just 99 cents plus tax. For a limited time at participating Taco Bell locations, try the new cheesy bean and rice burrito with three real cheeses. When you want quality, think outside the bun. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:39.
If you're trying to lose weight safely, sensibly, and effectively, listen closely. This message is for you. We all know that to lose weight, a sensible diet and exercise are the keys to getting rid of unwanted pounds. And while we can't always be good, there's a secret weapon to get you through the tough times. Introducing UltraCarb. The active ingredient in all-natural UltraCarb can slow the transition of carbohydrates into fat, giving you the edge it takes when you're trying to lose weight the right way. Thousands of people across the country have made UltraCarb a part of their weight loss program with amazing results. The fact is, no pill can make you lose weight overnight, but with UltraCarb, you can get a welcome boost toward achieving your goal, and in the war against fat, every little bit helps. Whether you're on a low-carb diet or just reducing your intake, UltraCarb can help. Imagine looking in the mirror and seeing a happier, thinner you. With UltraCarb, you can make that a reality. Call now to find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or your money back. 1-800-451-6432. That's 1-800-451-6432. It's risk-free and guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC News Time is 1:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Metabolife Ultra. Crews were hearing about an accident on northbound I-25 at Colorado, but they're not finding anything. Things are still moving pretty smoothly through there. A little bit of congestion southbound 225 onto I-25, as well as in the area of Colorado and I-25 as well. Are you having trouble staying on track with your New Year's resolution to lose weight? Get additional help by picking up a bottle of Manu Metabolife Ultra. It's from the leader in weight loss, Metabolife. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our ridge of high pressure shifts a little to the east, but no real effect other than generating some high clouds. We'll still have abundant sunshine with a high of 60, mainly clear tonight with lows in the upper 20s, upper 30s near the foothills, upper 50s with a mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, upper 40s by Friday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Sunny skies right now, 59 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Easter's almost here. Better hop on over to Walgreens and pick up some special treats. Don't forget Easter baskets and grass, chocolate bunnies, fillable eggs and jelly beans, egg coloring kits, plush toys, novelties, Mylar balloons, Hallmark cards. The list seems endless, but don't worry. You'll find everything you need for the best Easter ever. And it's all right around the corner at Walgreens.
KNRC Market Watch.
Stock markets trading at new highs for the session as we work through the final hour of trading. Dow Industrials now up 113 points. NASDAQ is adding 13. The S&P 500 now up 8 points. Steve Goldman, chief market strategist at Wheaton & Company, says there's plenty of support behind these gains.
There's a lot of focus on, you know, expectations of earnings slightly being raised, economy staying strong. You know, there's the lowering in taxes. Again, the physical and monetary stimulus is helping to propel most stocks higher.
Goldman mentioned earnings. We'll get a few reports next hour that could move the markets tomorrow, namely ones from Intel and Apple Computer. Both of those stocks are up modestly. Spending on telecommunications equipment bottomed out last year. That, according to the Telecom Industry Association, predicting today that telecom spending will jump nearly 7% this year. It's helping to send Lucent Technologies up a dime. Verizon is adding a nickel. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
143 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we're talking about a couple of different issues. These are big stories. They're front-page stories. Bush is planning a $1.5 billion drive to promote marriage. And it, what it does is it panders to his base. And, you know, what is it going to do really to promote marriage except divert any kind of thinking from how horrible the economy is, how hard it is to get a job if you don't have one? A lot of people have given up looking. And then you have a blockbuster piece of information here, which is, once again, another reason for not having gone to war. Saddam Hussein warned his Iraqi supporters to be wary of joining forces with foreign Arab fighters entering Iraq to battle American troops, and that would be jihadists. This is a document that apparently was found with Saddam Hussein when he was brought in by the Americans, allegedly drugged by the Kurds in advance and left for the Americans to find and get the glory. The document appears to be a directive written after he lost power from Saddam Hussein to leaders of the Iraqi resistance, counseling caution against getting too close to Islamic jihadists and other foreign Arabs coming into occupied Iraq. It provides the second piece of evidence challenging the Bush administration's contention of close cooperation between Hussein's government and terrorists from al-Qaeda. Remember now, the CIA has already elicited from top Qaeda officials in custody that before the invasion, Osama bin Laden had rejected pleas from some of his lieutenants to work jointly with Saddam Hussein. Why? Because Osama bin Laden is very religious and fundamentalist, and Saddam Hussein was secular, not religious. Iraq was a secular state. 303-382-1150. So let me ask you this question. Supposing you were told in the run-up to the war that the reason we're going to war is that it's, first of all, that it's going to cost us zillions of dollars, that we're going to be in there for probably 10 years anyway, that it had nothing to do with any kind of weapons of mass destruction. We want to get back at Saddam Hussein, and we want to go in for oil. Would you have been eager to do this? Would it have been convincing to you? 303-382-1150. Here is another piece of the puzzle. Is it enough to say he was a bad man? He was a bad man who we supported for a long time, who was not a threat to us right now at the time that we went in. It'll cost us billions of dollars that we're going to have to take away from actually fighting the real war on terrorism, fighting al-Qaeda, to do a more global war on terrorism, which is only going to make us a bigger target. It's going to take away money from social programs. It's going to take away money from job creation. It's going to take away money from protecting our borders and protecting us from terrorism. And it's going to take away our first responders because they're going to be stretched thin fighting in this post-war occupancy. The occupation, 303-382-1150. Now, if you had been told that, what would you have said? Would you have been so willing to support the war? Would you have gone for it? And knowing it now, is it the kind of situation where it's like being married to somebody or in love with somebody and you find out they're a cheater and they're a murderer and they're this and that and you rationalize it away? Well, he was a bad man. Really? What's the cost to benefit ratio here? And guess who is back in Baghdad? Sean Penn. He went to Baghdad a year ago. Remember all the criticism he came under? Not as an actor, but as a father, a husband, an American. He made the visit from December 13 to 15 about a year ago to learn about the American-Iraqi conflict from the people who are living through it. A year later, the week before Saddam Hussein was captured, Sean Penn returned to Iraq to find out how life had changed after the American invasion. What follows is his account of what he saw, and it's being published at the San Francisco Chronicle. Now, Phil Bronstein, the executive editor, dispatched Sean Penn to Iraq, and he has filed the story, which is really kind of interesting. I'll share some of it with you. Let's go to the phones. Jake, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, how you doing?
Doing well, Jake.
That's good. I just kind of had, you had mentioned that we weren't really fighting, I guess. We weren't fighting any terrorists, and the war in Iraq was actually taking away from the war on terror.
Yeah, in a lot of ways you can make that argument.
Well, you could make the argument. It'd be, you know, it'd be an incorrect argument, but you could make it.
Why? What's incorrect about it?
Well, because you stated earlier that these terrorists were coming there, and Saddam's troops were urged not to be, you know, buddy up with them too
closely. That's once we went in to bring Iraq to its, it was already on its knees to really, you know, mull over them. But tell me what your point is.
Well, I just wanted to make a point that it's widely known that Saddam did encourage and fund terrorists all over the Middle East.
He may have funded some terrorism among the Palestinians, and he were paying martyrs' families. But
right,
Iraq itself had no connection to Al Qaeda, and it was sold. Part of the war was sold with that he had weapons of mass destruction. Yes, it is true.
No.
You know what? If you're going to try to have a discussion, you've got to come armed with the facts.
Okay.
What kind of weapons of mass destruction?
So far, they discovered mustard gas.
They haven't discovered enough to have gone in to declare a war. And what they sold us, was in 45 minutes, he has weapons that could be deployed to the East Coast, and it could be a mushroom cloud. That's what they told us. Yes, they did. Condoleezza Rice told us that.
Jake,
you are completely wrong about this. Condoleezza Rice said that in 45 minutes they have weapons of mass destruction that could be deployed to the east coast of this country. The war was sold on the basis of weapons of mass destruction. Where are the weapons of mass destruction?
Well, they were pursuing those technologies. That's true. We know that for a fact. Do you disagree?
Did you read Barton Gellman's report in the Washington Post?
No, I don't follow Barton Gellington.
Barton Gellman, and it's clear. You know what, Jake? It's clear you don't read a newspaper either, because
I don't read biased newspapers. You know,
the Washington Post. How can I have a conversation with you? You don't read a newspaper.
You don't listen. I don't read your newspapers either, and you don't read.
What are you reading? Here's what Barton Gellman with documentation. Here's what Barton Gellman with documentation revealed. He had documents. He interviewed the top Iraqi scientists. They all said, and he got independent documentation, that they were talking about developing things, but they had no kinds of programs to do it. So if you had read that, you would know what you were talking about. So far, no weapons of mass destruction.
So talking about it, so they were planning it, so that was a goal for Saddam's administration. We can't conclude that from that report.
Jake, have we uncovered weapons of mass destruction yet?
We've uncovered evidence that they were working towards that goal.
Do we have weapons of mass destruction? They said that they had them and they could deploy them instantly.
Maybe we should wait until they deployed them. Is that your point?
There are no weapons of mass destruction,
because
Jake.
We stepped in and stopped them from developing.
There weren't any. There haven't been any in 10 years. What little stocks they had have lost their shelf life a decade ago.
Well, that's also not true as well.
No, you're wrong. You have no facts in front of you. It's impossible to have.
You're not presenting anything other than your opinion, though.
I'm not presenting my opinion. I am presenting documented evidence. I'm referring you to Barton Gellman's piece in the Washington Post.
Well, you know, that's an opinion piece.
And you're telling... No, not an opinion piece. He's doing this piece as a reporter, so I'm asking you to
read it and
arm yourself with some information. You're going on feelings, Jake. You have no evidence. There have been no weapons of mass destruction that have been found. Second point, this is Colin Powell also saying, the White House, the administration saying, that there was no relationship between Al Qaeda and Iraq. How do you want to answer that?
Well, that's Al Qaeda. That's just one terrorist group. You're aware that there's more than one in the world, right?
Yeah, but there was no, there's no relation, but they sold the war on that there was a relationship with Al-Qaeda and Iraq. And there isn't.
Al-Qaeda.
Yes, they did.
They said terrorists.
No, Jake, go back to what Cheney said. Go back to what the White House did. They tried to, in the same sentence, put Iraq and Al-Qaeda in the same sentence.
That's where you're
and Fox News has, there's a kind of a poll out that says about 60 or 70% of Fox viewers, which I sounds like you are one of them, believe that there is a relationship between Al-Qaeda and Iraq, and there is none. And the war was sold on two phony bases, and you don't want to believe it. 303-382-1150. Well, he says it's not true. I refer him to the Washington Post, which is the paper, a paper of record. Well, I don't believe what they write. How can you tell me how you can have a discussion with somebody like that? Holly, Anacel, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Gosh, that guy really just kind of made my mind go blank. But first of all, I like to say how many times I wake up in a day and say, thank God for Enid Goldstein. This whole thing that's going on in this country right now is so frightening. And, you know, there's so many few people out there that have half a brain that can speak to this administration. Now I'm listening to your show, and you're talking about they want to spend $1.8 billion to
$1.5 billion, and among low income groups.
It's unbelievable. Meanwhile, here in Denver, we have how many homeless people that don't have a pot to pee in, can't get any decent housing or food.
Well, if they get married to each other, maybe they'll have a couple of bucks in their pocket from this initiative. Isn't that depressing? Holly, you make an excellent point. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Denver's best kept secret. The only station where you can hear host with all points of view. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Velcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5 ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Velcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at Velcaro.com.
Kohl's January Value Days start Thursday at 8 a.m. with great bonus buys store-wide through Monday, like 60% off all fine and sterling silver jewelry. Take 40% off all Bally, Warner's, Olga, and Barely There bras, and 40 to 50% off all kids' union-based sportswear. Save 50% on assorted kitchen electrics, and junior soap pants and jeans are just $12.99. Plus, save an extra 10% on everything every time you use your Kohl's charge through Monday. See store for details during Kohl's January Value Days starting Thursday at 8 a.m.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Are you hoping to do something creative with the new year? Take a class at the Art Students League of Denver. Learn drawing, oil painting, wood carving, wheel throwing, printmaking, and more. Classes are offered for the experienced artist as well as the beginner, and schedules and class lengths vary. Inspire your inner artist and call the Art Students League of Denver at 303-778-6990. That's 778-6990. Or go online to www.asld.org.
Did you make a New Year's resolution to lose weight? Keep that promise you made with the help of Metabolife Ultra. It's guaranteed to work or your money back. Metabolife Ultra.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. AM 1150 KNRC proudly sponsors Mutts and Models, a celebrity fashion show and dance on Friday, January 16 at 7 p.m. at the Gothic Theater. This fashion extravaganza benefits Harrison Memorial Animal Hospital, Colorado's only nonprofit vet hospital, providing services at reduced prices for pets whose owners are low income. That's Mutts and Models, Friday, January 16 at the Gothic Theater. Purchase tickets online at blacktie-colorado.com or call 303-722-2100.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1:56 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. We're going to be giving away some tickets in the next hour to Queen Noor and suddenly Sonoma, definitely Denver, a wine tasting, 80 different Sonoma wines that'll you be able to taste and wobble home. Be careful about driving. And a lot of hors d'oeuvres at Johnson & Wales. The money goes to benefit charity. $40 tickets. We'll be giving away a pair of those and a pair of tickets to hear Queen Noor when she comes to speak in Denver next week. Let's go to the phones. Bob on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Bob.
Oh, God. And a guy you had, the caller before.
Tell me how to debate somebody like that. I don't know how to talk to somebody who says, no, you're wrong, and who has no facts to muster, who has no evidence, who doesn't read any kind of a newspaper where there's solid reporting. What? How do you do this? I don't know how to do this.
Well, that's how Rush Limbaugh has all those people. You got a call from a Rushite.
Well, you know, they're used to a host, I guess, who's a junkie and and who agrees with them. I don't know.
That's right. Hey, I'm telling you, I really think that these people have to go back to 1930 in Germany and take a look at what happened to the German people, the fascist party, not Hitler. Yeah, Hitler was a little nutcase that got away from the people in power and the people with the money. Bush isn't going to do that. Bush is not going to get away. He's going to take orders, and that's it. But you've got the same thing. Slowly and surely, they're taking over in every section of your life. And this fascist-type government thing is right here to stay.
I hope you're wrong about that, but I really do think that Bush is a very dangerous president. And for people not to see it, for people to be so easily manipulated, for people to just be completely, I think it's even worse than that. I think they're disengaged from the political process. It's like it doesn't speak to them. And for a long time, the truth is, it didn't speak to me either. I just thought it was a lot of BS, and I didn't see how my life was directly affected, but now my eyes are open.
Well, go a little step further, and it's we keep mentioning Bush, and I wish we didn't do that, because I think you have to go to the party that the people and the company that's in there, the administration, not so much Bush. You know, any chess player, and there's a lot of people out there that are listening to you that play chess, and the game of chess, you try to capture the opponent's king, and you protect your own. Now, every time we've had an orange alert or 9/11 or everything else, who is the king that we're protecting? Who has gone underground? Who is not around? Who's not available? It's Dick Cheney. It's not Bush.
Bob, we're gonna leave it there because we're out of time in this hour. Thanks for the call. It's one of the Dicks running the White House. There are two of them now, George W. Dickey Bush and Dick Cheney. I'm Enid Goldstein. One more hour of Enid Live right here on AM 1150 KNRC. You can participate in the conversation. You'll probably be heard by more people than you'll meet in the rest of your life. 303-382-1150. Keep it here. Don't go anywhere.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Sunny, 59 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Goodyear. Witnesses say that a Boulder Valley School District bus ran a stop sign this morning and then crashed into an SUV. The accident in a residential area near 76th Street and South Boulder Road sent five people in the SUV to the hospital. The school bus driver received minor injuries, but six kids who were on board the school bus were unhurt. Beef prices will probably start falling soon. That's the word from Gary Cowman, the executive director of the Centennial Colorado-based National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
We've got product here that we can't export, and I think our situation will be not as severe as it was in Canada, where they had a major reduction in price because they export something like 60%. But we could see a little easing at the retail level.
Cowman spoke yesterday during the Mad Cow Disease Forum that the association presented during the National Western Stock Show. He says the technology to trace the carrier of Mad Cow has existed for years but is being stepped up. Perfecting that technology, he says, will take money and some time, probably between 2 and 3 years. Nonetheless, he thinks that American consumers should buy beef with confidence because the infected cow that was slaughtered in Washington State last month has been identified and traced to a farm in Alberta, Canada. A Colorado senator wants to yank those discount grocery store cards out of your wallet. State Senator Ken Clauber, a Leadville Republican, says the stores use the cards to get information on their customers and then sell that information to other companies. The retail industry says the cards only get limited information and the customers get good sale prices. They also say the customers get more of the benefits of the deal, and that Clauber is being unfair by targeting just grocery stores when other stores have the same kinds of discount cards. President Bush has outlined a dramatic shift in U.S. space policy.
Today we set a new course for America's space program. We will give NASA a new focus and vision for future exploration.
Speaking at NASA headquarters in Washington, Bush said, "We will build new ships to carry man forward into the universe and set foot again on the moon and beyond." The Bush administration, meanwhile, is reportedly planning to propose a $1.5 billion election year initiative to promote marriage. A report in the New York Times says the administration wants to help couples learn the skills that sustain healthy marriages. White House spokesman Scott McClellan is not confirming the report, but he says President Bush strongly supports the sanctity of marriage.
He believes strongly in the sanctity of marriage being between a man and a woman. And the president has made it very clear that he will do what is necessary to protect and defend the sanctity of marriage.
Conservatives are pushing the White House to do more to promote and defend traditional marriage. The Massachusetts Supreme Court recently ruled that gay couples have a right to marry. The double murder trial of Scott Peterson will go forward. A Stanislaus County, California Superior Court judge today denied a motion to dismiss charges against Peterson in the deaths of his pregnant wife and their unborn son. Next week, a decision is expected on where that trial will be held. It's bitterly cold in the Northeast, with highs barely rising above the zero mark in some major cities. In Providence, Rhode Island, emergency shelters are being erected to help people seeking shelter from the dangerous cold. New York City Police Commissioner Ray Kelly says authorities in Pennsylvania are investigating a body found this morning that, quote, may be that of missing actor Spalding Gray. Kelly says a male body was found in Pittsburgh, close to a home of one of Gray's relatives.
The investigation is ongoing. It is a report unconfirmed by us that A body was found in the vicinity in Pittsburgh near one of Mr. Gray's relatives' homes. We have not confirmed that, but that's out in the news media.
The 62-year-old actor and writer was last seen Saturday evening at his home in Soho. Police had also been searching in the Hamptons, where Gray has another home. Senator Ted Kennedy is once again raising his voice in opposition to the Bush administration's handling of the war with Iraq. In a policy speech in Washington, the Massachusetts Democrat said the White House and Pentagon had no viable exit strategy after winning the war. Just before the close of today's trading session, stocks were higher, the Dow up 109 points, the NASDAQ up nearly 13 points, the S&P 500 up just over 8. In sports, the Denver Nuggets head into the Staples Center tonight to take on the L.A. Lakers. Nuggets beat the Lakers here in Denver last Wednesday. Nuggets are coming off their 105-92 win over the Suns in Phoenix last night. The Colorado Avalanche have the night off as they get ready to play the Dallas Stars tomorrow night at the Pepsi Center. The Avs won 3-1 over the Anaheim Mighty Ducks last night here in Denver. College basketball action tonight as the CU Buffs in Nebraska to play the Cornhuskers. Now through January 17th, get up to a $50 cash card with the purchase of four selected Goodyear tires. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for the complete details and the retailer nearest you. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
If a beautiful woman can convince her family she wants to marry a man they've never met, she'll walk away with a $1 million prize. Sound easy? She thought so too, until Fox introduced her to him. Starting this Monday, a lie will be told, a wedding will be planned, and a family will be freaked.
My mother's gonna have a heart attack.
My Big Fat Obnoxious Fiance.
People say I got a nice butt.
A new series premiering Monday following the season premiere of American Idol on Fox.
Home. When you were a kid, it was the last place you wanted to be. Some of us even packed our bags weekly to run away. Now all you really want to do is run home after a long day at work, especially when you've brought the rich, distinctive taste of Starbucks coffee home from your grocery store. So, brew yourself a cup of one of Starbucks' deeply satisfying coffees and sit back knowing how good life can be once you've stopped running. Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Still a pretty good drive around the metro area. I'm Darren Copeland. This 710 KNUS traffic report brought to you by the network of 17 John Elway Auto Nation showrooms. Looking good around the metro area. A little slow northbound 225 as you make your way towards Hampton. Watch for that. And we do have that construction zone northbound and southbound I-25 right in the area of Evans and Colorado. At John Elway's showrooms, you get a certified used vehicle with a 99-day warranty and a money-back guarantee. There are no worries at all when you get a John Elway certified used vehicle. Honest. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our trend for this unseasonally mild weather is going to last a couple of more days. We'll have lots of sunshine today with a high right around 60. Mainly clear tonight, lows in the upper 20s and upper 30s near the foothills. Partly cloudy tomorrow, highs in the upper 50s, upper 40s on Friday with a mix of sun and clouds. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 59 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're going to be giving away some tickets to Queen Noor today. And here's the deal with all the tickets that we give away. You have to be able to pick them up here. I'll give you the dates for the events. But you have to pick them up here at the station. We are located at 18th and Lawrence above the old Spaghetti Factory. And you have to come during business hours, Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30. Okay? 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. So that's always the caveat. We've been talking about the marriage initiative that President Bush wants to back, $1.5 billion to do that, to satisfy his base. We are also talking that according to documents that were found with Saddam Hussein, no connection with Al-Qaeda. They hated each other, Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. And the question I've been asking is, if you knew that this thing was going to cost billions of dollars, that it was going to last for 5 to 10 years, let's say, the occupation, that there were no weapons of mass destruction involved and that there was no connection between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda, would you have been in favor of the war against Iraq? 303-382-1150. You heard Bill Johnson from the Rocky Mountain News, columnist just back from Iraq. He said, we can't go. We're stuck. It's a mess there. It is a mess there. Front page of today's New York Times. The Securities and Exchange Commission has found payoffs in sales of mutual funds. Oh, are we surprised? And listen to this. They had uncovered widespread instances of brokers receiving undisclosed payments for steering investors towards specific funds. It might not even be funds that would benefit you, but they get a payoff. They get a commission for doing it, and you don't even know it. None of that is disclosed. One of the things that was revealed by Paul O'Neill in this new book that he provided so much documentation for by Ron Suskind is that Alan Greenspan and Paul O'Neill, when Paul O'Neill was Treasury Secretary under Bush, got together and realized that the SEC had to be a lot stronger. But Bush wouldn't go for it. Bush would not go for a stronger SEC. He backed away from it. And one reason, now we know why, financial firms are George W. Bush's biggest donors. This is now according to a study. A new study that was just released shows that employees and political action committees of brokerages, banks, and credit companies make up 6 of President Bush's top 10 career contributors, a clear indicator of his increasing support from the financial sector. So why should he have a tough SEC that will protect us, just the ordinary little rabbit investor? We get screwed. You know, there was all this after-hours trading that we didn't know about that benefited some investors, not all investors. Now we find out that there were payoffs and sales of mutual funds. Brokers would steer you to various mutual funds, not disclosing to you that they were getting a payoff for doing it. And then, of course, you had the tainted research from some of these big financial entities where they knew they were lying to you. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. And they were giving you tainted research information in order to sell you bogus stuff that would really be just junk, trying to get the investment business of these companies that were putting out so much junk, and you were the victim of it, or me too. Ed, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Ed?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, thank God for the sanity you bring to radio. That Jake guy was out there.
Yeah, but that Jake guy is listening to Republicans, and that's what they're telling him, and he's believing it. Well, and if you try to argue with him, I would like some tips, honestly, from some of you when you've got a caller like Jake, and he says, no, you're wrong, and he's wrong. What can you say to him?
I think hang up on it. Say, go read a, like you did, say, go read a paper or go watch something besides Fox News. I wanted to address some of the talking points that the Republicans are using now that Paul O'Neill came out and said, and I heard him again on Terry Gross this morning on Fresh Air. He said the main reason they wanted to get rid of Saddam early on in 2001 was just because he was a bad guy. It had nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. And so now the Republicans are saying, well, you know, so what? Clinton had regime change down for Saddam, too. And they said, and, you know, Clinton took us to Bosnia. And the big difference there is that Clinton was truthful. You know, he didn't lie about Bosnia. He said it wasn't about oil or it wasn't about, you know, national security directly. It was about keeping that area from going under and, you know, just becoming chaotic.
Well, chaotic. It was a human rights issue, but he didn't. You're right. He didn't lie about it. And
right.
I thought we should go into Bosnia. I felt strongly about it. We made mistakes once we got there in some ways. We bombed some of the wrong entities. But no, I thought it was a good move to go into Bosnia. I thought it was a good move to go into Afghanistan. I thought it was a terrible move to go into Iraq. We didn't finish the work in Afghanistan. We certainly haven't brought in Osama bin Laden, so we're trying to fight some global terrorism war, and our resources are at the breaking point, and what we are doing is losing the war against Al-Qaeda. We can't focus on all of it, and we are going to be stuck now. We've managed to alienate our oldest allies, so now we got to shoulder this whole burden by ourselves. This is crazy. This is completely nuts. 303-382-1150. So what we're finding out here is, in addition to the horrible deficits that we're running, and one of the ways to deflect our attention from it is to put together a marriage program endorsing marriage among the lower classes, the IMF report says, the International Monetary Fund report says that U.S. deficits threaten the world economy. So it isn't just our own country threatening to turn our own country into a banana republic. We are threatening in a way because we're such a superpower, we're so strong, and we're so unstable now to really destabilize other countries with its rising budget deficit and ballooning trade imbalance. The United States is running up a foreign debt of such record-breaking proportions that it threatens the financial stability of the global economy. This is according to a report that was made public by the International Monetary Fund. In nearly 60 pages of carefully worded analysis, the report sounded a loud alarm about the shaky fiscal foundation of the United States, questioning the wisdom of the Bush administration's tax cuts and warning that large budget deficits pose significant risks, not just for the U.S., but for the rest of the world. So you can concentrate on stabilizing marriages among the lower class all you want, but how good is that going to be when your kids, your grandchildren are going to have to pay for the deficits, when it could turn the country into a banana republic, when it could destabilize the rest of the world economies? I mean, it's just not us. 303-382-1150. How come nobody's talking about this? Hal in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good afternoon, Enid.
Hi, Hal.
I want to make a comment that I think that this announcement about the moonshot and the eventual Mars shot is in the most part reactive, because I've been reading that the Chinese communists are going to make a big push at colonizing the moon, and, of course, we can't have that.
Well, I don't have a problem, actually, of space exploration. Do you? Although we don't have money.
Idea.
Go ahead.
No, I think it's a great endeavor. It's always proved beneficial. However, I think timeliness of it, because the Chinese communists are not embroiled in any war and running these huge deficits, so they may have a leg up there because they're not spending in two different directions. However, we are.
You know, that's a really good point, Hal, because we're going to bankrupt ourselves. We're going to try and do space exploration to catch up with the Chinese, or to be ahead of the Chinese or anybody else who might be hot on our heels. And we're fighting this war that is a never-ending war on terrorism. We're stretched already. The most prestigious arm of the Army, its most prestigious academic arm, is the War College, and it has issued a scathing report about the Bush administration fighting this war, saying that the Army is stretched thin.
Yeah, it is, and it may be stretching itself even further if anything else develops. And I think in order to do that, they're going to have to reinstitute the draft. I've mentioned that before, and I'll look for that next year, possibly after.
Well, if they're going to reinstitute the draft, then my prediction is you're going to see a lot of screaming from the middle class now that thinks it's great if the lower class's kids are fighting these wars, but do not want to see their own children over there.
Well, screaming or not, they still will be drafted.
Well, we'll see, but that's what you had with Vietnam. You had a lot of protests, and it's finally what brought the house down, I think. 303-382-1150. Thanks, Hal. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, and here's what we're talking about. We're talking about, first of all, front page of the New York Times. The SEC, which has mostly been among the nearly comatose, along with the Democrats, the Securities and Exchange Commission has found payoffs in mutual funds. In other words, brokers steering you to buy certain mutual funds without disclosing to you that they're getting a commission, they're getting paid off to steer you to those funds. And they could be crappy funds, too. But you're not being told the truth, just like you're not being told the truth from this administration. And when there was a chance to put some real teeth into the Securities and Exchange Commission to assure investors that it was an honest and fair playing field, President Bush backed away from it. Why did he back away from it? Well, I guess one good clue would be that financial firms are Bush's biggest donors, and this is according to a new study that's just been released. The study was conducted by the Nonpartisan Center for Public Integrity. It was published as a book, The Buying of the President 2004. Who was President Bush's top financial sponsor? Can you guess? You want to guess? 303-382-1150. Can you guess who was Bush's top financial all-time sponsor? Oh, let me see. Let me see. The wheels are turning. Enron! Enron is Bush's top financial sponsor. The bankrupt energy trader that collapsed amid an accounting scandal. The company and its employees gave almost $603,000 to Mr. Bush, according to the study, which examined contributions to his campaign for Congress, Texas governor, and the presidency through the third quarter of this year. Enron employees have continued to give Mr. Bush, now though in smaller amounts. The president received $3,000 in 2003 from four people who listed Enron as their employers, as their employer. Merrill Lynch was Bush's second largest career patron at about $505,000, followed by MBNA Corporation. The law firm Vinson & Elkins gave $466,000. Credit Suisse First Boston, almost $445,000, and so forth. So financial entities gave him a lot of money, but his number one all-time contributor is Enron. So would that explain, let me see, I'm going to put my thinking cap on now. Does that explain why Ken Lay is still walking around free? Is that why Ken laid everybody, I guess, 303-382-1150. And in another, if that isn't, all this isn't bad enough, an advisory from the U.S. Labor Department to businesses around the country on how to avoid paying overtime is raising eyebrows and concerns. The Labor Department memo to employers tells them how to get around new overtime regulations that are supposed to take effect in March. The regulations, which have been opposed by organized labor, include overtime pay for workers earning less than $22,000, but make millions of higher-paid workers ineligible. So if you're making less than $22,000, you do get the possibility here of overtime pay. But the Labor Department, which is supposed to be your advocate and mine, it's supposed to be an advocate for the country's workers, is not doing its job. The rules are a sham, said the communications director for the Minnesota AFL-CIO. They can be summarized as work more, earn less. She said, this is absolutely amazing. We're going to pass new rules that are going to be good for workers in public and behind the scenes. We're going to coach employers on how not to follow even those limited and dismal rules. In Minnesota alone, 200,000 workers are going to lose eligibility for overtime under the new rules. And so here they reduce the number of people who can get overtime pay, and then behind your back, this entity that's supposed to be your advocate, the Labor Department, is going around your back telling employers how they can get around the new rules so that even the few pennies that you could get in overtime pay, just like the SEC, supposed to be your advocate, supposed to make a level playing field for you if you're going to be an investor, and most of us are small investors. And we find out that the playing field is not a level at all, that certain entities are allowed to do after-hours trading, and so they make money on our backs. It turns out that we get tainted research from the research departments of these big financial services firms because they're looking to get the investment business from some of these companies, so they give out 4-star ratings or big, you know, good reports on crappy investments. So you wind up investing, and then you got no retirement, and you wind up working at Walmart in your golden years trying to make it on a minimum wage. You see a lot of older people at work in the mall who thought they could retire and thought that their portfolios would support them, their investments, and it's not going to be the case for them, especially if they were Enron employees. So instead of the stronger protections that the SEC might actually be an organization with teeth in it, it's all been watered down. Bush did that and his cohorts, because guess what? They want to make money on our backs. They don't want to alienate the financial community, because the financial community are Bush's biggest financial contributors. 303-382-1150. Nancy calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi there, Enid. This morning's Rocky Mountain News said there were like 15 mutual fund companies that they're investigating. Where can I find a list of those?
I don't know. Why don't you go to the SEC.com and see if you, or SEC.gov, whatever the SEC website would be. I'm looking here at the mutual funds and I don't see them. Now, are you talking about the SEC investigation? Elliot Spitzer.
I think that's what I read in the
Well, reread it, because Elliot Spitzer, New York State Attorney General, is also looking into various mutual funds, so it might be his investigation.
Okay, because before I lost my nerve, I was invested in a mutual fund company, and I'm curious.
To know if yours was one of them?
If mine was one of them.
What's the name of yours? I'll see if I remember the name.
You want me to confess?
Yeah.
Fidelity.
Oh, Fidelity. I haven't heard anything bad yet about Fidelity, but check it out.
I haven't either, but, you know, I'm just kind of curious, because they're the biggest.
Look into, see if you can access Elliot Spitzer and New York State and what he's investigating, and then look into the SEC and maybe they'll list it. Thanks, Nancy. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Tell your friends about Denver's best-kept secret. Talk radio where you can hear both sides throughout the day. AM 1150 KNRC.
Work for someone you love. You. Are you looking for a satisfying career helping others? Join the trillion-dollar wellness revolution by becoming a body-mind specialist. You can become a psychotherapist and a hypnotherapist and open your private practice upon graduation from Day of Miracles School. Your training is unique, spiritual, fun, and comprehensive. Sharpen your own awareness, listening, and communication skills. Take the weekend training to learn the psychology of the subconscious mind. The subconscious directly accesses the body, mind connection, and inner wisdom. Hypnotherapy is effective for smoking cessation, reducing stress and anxiety, releasing past traumas, creating better relationships, and much more. The dynamic training teaches you innovative skills of interactive hypnotherapy. Day of Miracles School is a licensed occupational school, and you're invited to call 303-777-2555. Classes begin February and September. Please mention KNRC to receive a tuition discount and CD about the program. Call 303-777-2555.
If you're trying to lose weight safely, sensibly, and effectively, listen closely. This message is for you. We all know that to lose weight, a sensible diet and exercise are the keys to getting rid of unwanted pounds. And while we can't always be good, there's a secret weapon to get you through the tough times. Introducing UltraCarb. The active ingredient in all-natural UltraCarb can slow the transition of carbohydrates into fat, giving you the edge it takes when you're trying to lose weight the right way. Thousands of people across the country have made UltraCarb a part of their weight loss program with amazing results. The fact is, no pill can make you lose weight overnight, but with UltraCarb, you can get a welcome boost toward achieving your goal, and in the war against fat, every little bit helps. Whether you're on a low-carb diet or just reducing your intake, UltraCarb can help. Imagine looking in the mirror and seeing a happier, thinner you. With UltraCarb, you can make that a reality. Call now to find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or your money back. 1-800-451-6432. That's 1-800-451-6432. It's risk-free and guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the 3-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Gold. Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:26 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about the SEC not protecting us, the Labor Department stiffing overtime pay for many a whole new class of workers now, and then putting out memos telling employers how to get around even those dismal rules. So all the entities that are supposed to protect us, they're not protecting us. How can you vote for this kind of an administration? The SEC finding out that their payoffs, oh, Kel, surprise, after all the other revelations that we've been through, payoffs and sales of mutual funds that a lot of brokers will steer you to funds that they're getting paid off on to steer you there, and nobody's telling you about this. They're not disclosing it. They should disclose it, and then you will know whether or not to believe that recommendation. 303-382-1150, and then this. Tony Blair's chief scientist had launched a withering attack on President George Bush for failing to tackle climate change, which he says is more serious than terrorism. U.S. climate policy is a bigger threat to the world than terrorism, according to the English. What do you think about that? And then the energy firms are paying the tab for a big GOP trip, a dozen or more congressional Republicans, and this is from John at Jones Radio. Ooh, John emails me this. A dozen or more congressional Republicans are going to gather a resort in balmy Phoenix, or maybe they've already done it, to hear the legislative wish lists of Western coal, power, and mining companies and raise money from them. It's a four-day conference. It began last week with a $1,500 per person round of golf and dinner, dubbed Mulligans and Margaritas. The money raised from industry officials will be divided among the re-election campaigns of the lawmakers, most of whom serve on committees that oversee the mining and energy industries. Boy, if that doesn't look like the best kind of legislation money can buy, doesn't it? And Bush is acting to reward companies who cut off seniors' drug coverage. Late last year, President Bush promised retirees that if there's a Medicare reform bill signed by me, corporations have no intention to dump retirees from their existing drug coverage. What we're talking about is trust. But just 3 months after the pledge, the Wall Street Journal now reports that the White House quietly added a little notice provision to this bill that allows companies to severely reduce or almost completely terminate their retirees' drug coverage. In other words, Bush promised retired people that if their companies provided an existing drug benefit, that he would support that. And 3 months after he gets his the revision of Medicare that he got, which is going to be horrible for anybody who's ever going to try and get Medicare. When our time comes around, I wonder if it'll be there. The Wall Street Journal is now reporting that the White House has quietly added a provision to the bill that nobody's noticed that allows companies to cut, reduce, or completely terminate their retirees' drug coverage. So he's lied again every time. And everybody talks about this gaffe or that gaffe that Howard Dean makes. But I don't recall Howard Dean lying to people. And when Bush lies to us, nobody holds his feet to the fire. This just in. Andrew Fastow from Enron has pled guilty, and he has agreed to 10 years. He is the ex-Enron chief financial officer. He pled guilty just a few seconds ago to 2 counts of conspiracy, and he agreed to accept a 10-year prison sentence and forfeit almost $24 million to the federal government. He made a fortune on these concoctions that he created that a lot of people who were holding Enron stock and who had no choice about it as employees, forget it. They have no retirement. Forget it. Their monies are just down the toilet. His wife, too, is negotiating some kind of an arrangement as well, so we'll hear more about that later. But he's going to the pokey for 10 years. He is the ex-CFO of Enron. He's going to forfeit $24 million to the federal government. He's also going to cooperate with prosecutors in their investigation of wrongdoing at Enron. So that means that he's going to help them with bringing in others as well. Fastow pleaded guilty to 1 count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and 1 count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and securities fraud. The 2 charges relate to the off-the-book Talon partnerships and a second deal called Swap Sub that led to a Southampton partnership splitting some $19 million. He's 42 years old. He's the highest-ranking executive to admit to a crime in the collapse of the once great and now bankrupt energy trading giant. They nearly bankrupted the state of California, may I say. He was indicted on 98 counts but pleaded guilty today in arrangement with the Enron Task Force prosecutors. If he successfully cooperates with the government, his plea arrangement states, he will be sentenced to 10 years in prison, a hefty sentence for a white-collar criminal with no prior convictions. Now, I wonder if he's going to be able to get out early on that 10-year vacation in the pokey. And is he going to sentence him to Club Fed, too? That's the other question. He has no prior convictions. His testimony could help prosecutors greatly accelerate their two-year investigation into crimes committed at the company. Could potentially implicate or clear corporate top dogs, former CEO Jeff Skilling and former chairman Ken Lay. Those close to the case expect Skilling will be charged soon and that Lay will be under great scrutiny. His wife, who's also 42, and hear what they were trying to do. They have young children, and they were trying not to both be in jail at the same time so that one of the parents would be around with the children. I think the kids are like 4 and 5 or 6 or something like that. The wife is expected to plead guilty this afternoon, and this is at 4 o'clock, and that, I believe, is at Central Time. So that would be in about a half an hour. We should get some word that she was involved in a plea agreement, and at the last second it fell apart late last week. So apparently it's on track, and she was supposed to only get 5 months. She was an assistant treasurer or something like that. In any event, she's expected to plead guilty this afternoon, we think in about a half hour or so, to one count of filing a false tax return. Her sentence will be determined after an investigation is conducted into her crime and her background. They were originally, this couple, scheduled to plead guilty last week, but the negotiations temporarily broke down. He, Andrew, is likely to stay free on bail and not serve his sentence until after he has spent extensive time, months at least, helping the government prepare and execute cases against others in Enron. 6 other people who've pleaded guilty to crimes in Enron-related cases are still on bail under similar arrangements in their cooperative agreements. So he's going to have to rat out everybody. And he's sentenced to 10 years. Now, what that really means is, I don't know whether he's got to serve the whole 10 years or whether they consider him for probation. Or, you know, they get him out early if he behaves well. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. If we're talking about jail, maybe we should talk about how they do it in Greenland. We're a country that incarcerates more people than any other country on earth. Probably we incarcerate more, I think, in either this country or in the state of California than everybody else combined. But if you're in Greenland, doing hard time isn't that hard. In the midst of a howling Arctic storm last month, Merrick Lindenhahn, who was lumbered into a store and bought a DVD called Go Home by the band U2, and then the 51-year-old Inuit walked back to his home, the local prison. He is serving a life sentence for 3 rapes, but like other hardcore inmates at the only jail in Greenland's tiny capital, he enjoys some extraordinary privileges, including unaccompanied shopping trips. Though some residents know of his crimes, they look the other way. He's sweet, said a store owner as she waved goodbye to him. Greenland may be forbiddingly remote, mostly covered in ice and sparsely populated, but it has one of the most violent societies in the world. It also may have the most pampered felons. About 60 of the country's murderers, rapists, and thieves are housed at the Institute for Convicts, Greenland's main prison. About a dozen of the best behaved are free to come and go as they please. The rest can leave the prison, but they have to return soon after work and are locked into their rooms at 9:30 p.m. This jail, this main jail in Greenland, has no fences, no bars, but plenty of television sets, DVD players, and computers. Inmates hold regular jobs around town, earning about $2,800 a month, a living wage in this country of 50,000 people, only 53,000 people only in Greenland. In the summer, they're given shotguns and allowed to hunt reindeer and seals. The only requirement for such hunting trips, they must be accompanied by armed guards, says the chief judge of Greenland, and they cannot be drunk. There's little incentive to escape. Where can they run? Says the Danish head of the prison system. It's cold outside. The head of the prison system, Mr. Nord, acknowledges that some inmates have committed new crimes while roaming outside of jail, but such incidents are rare enough that prison authorities have not felt the need to study the issue or quantify the problem, he says. Even so, the liberties given to Greenland's inmates are so extensive that many residents in this semi-autonomous region of Denmark are starting to rethink their tolerant approach to criminal punishment. While random street crime is rare, the island is plagued by violence between people who know each other, often triggered by drunkenness. Nearly half of all Greenlanders have experienced personal violence, and one-third of women between the ages of 18 to 24 are victims of sexual abuse. But going to jail there is a whole different feel than going to jail here. Some inmates do have reason to gripe about the system. One common complaint is the lack of seal meat, an Inuit delicacy in the prison fare. They all come from different villages, says the warden, and they all want their seal meat cooked differently. It was too much, so we stopped it. Sitting in his room that overlooks a breathtaking vista of icy hills and the turbulent waters of the North Atlanta, Mr. Lindenhahn, who's in there for his whole life because he committed 3 rapes, but he goes to the, you know, video store to buy the U2 film, says he dreams of being free and going sailing. In 1974, while drunk, he raped a 7-year-old girl and was sentenced to 6 years. After serving his term, he got drunk again, raped 2 other women. That got him a lifetime term in the Denmark jail. He's now been brought back to Greenland 7 years ago. He does odd jobs. Lives above the head guard's apartment 3 times a week. He is given antabuse, a drug that triggers a nasty reaction, if followed by alcohol. He's also given a fortnightly injection of Androcur, a testosterone-reducing medicine that lowers his male sex drive. He has a small Christmas tree surrounded by stuffed animals. He owns dozens of DVDs. The jail is spotless, including Gangs of New York and another called Sorority Girls. He's well enough behaved that the door to his room is always open, and he doesn't try to leave. He says, "All my family are dead. And I don't mind it here." 303-32-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Sunny, 59 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Goodyear. A senior official with the Colorado Department of Revenue has been placed on paid leave because of a probe investigating charges of alleged gift-giving by vendors who are trying to do business with the Colorado Lottery. The official, George Turner, has been employed by the Revenue Department for nearly 30 years. Kobe Bryant's attorneys have filed papers saying they want to be allowed to present the past sexual history of Bryant's accuser in court. They say state law allows the argument, but prosecutors are arguing that state law prohibits the woman's sexual history from being admitted at trial. A proposal before the state legislature could stop a federal lawsuit. The proposal is about requiring the recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance in classrooms around the state. The new wording in the proposal says just willing students and teachers would say the pledge. A federal judge declared the first law unconstitutional, saying it violated First Amendment rights of students and teachers. In sports, it's the Nuggets versus the Lakers tonight in L.A. The Nuggets are coming off their win over the Suns in Phoenix last night. Now through January 17th, get up to a $50 cash card with the purchase of 4 selected Goodyear tires. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the retailer nearest you. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:38.
This week on Colorado State of Mind, the Emmy-winning show looks at immigration and foreign visitors. President Bush unveiled his plan to allow illegal immigrants to work legally in the United States. Bush's plan allows companies to fill low-paying and often dangerous jobs with immigrant workers if the jobs cannot be filled by willing Americans. When the 3-year work exemption expires, immigrants are expected to return to their home country. Proponents say the plan rewards hard work and protects immigrants. Opponents say it panders to big corporations and is a ploy to attract Hispanic voters in the upcoming election. Immigrants fear that it will result in deportation after they have worked hard to build a life in America. Is the plan a good idea or a shrewd political ploy? What do you think? Tune in Friday night at 8:30 as a panel of Coloradans debate this and more on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. Also, the U.S. now digitally fingerprints foreign visitors. Are we overreacting? Join the discussion online anytime at rmpbs.org. Watch Colorado State of Mind Fridays only on Rocky Mountain PBS.
KNRC News Time is 2:39. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Subway, and really just a nice drive right now. I would guess it's one of those days where we just kind of get a reprieve from all the accidents. Northbound and southbound I-25 at Colorado, still a little slow due to the construction. Hampton at I-25, they did a lane shift, so watch for slowing there. Start the year by eating and feeling good at Subway. Try Subway's new Atkins-friendly carb-controlled wraps. Savor the flavor of the turkey bacon melt or chicken bacon ranch Atkins-friendly wraps. I'm Darren, now at Subway. I'm Darren Goblin with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our trend for this unseasonally mild weather is going to last a couple of more days. We'll have lots of sunshine today with a high right around 60, mainly clear tonight, lows in the upper 20s and upper 30s near the foothills. Partly cloudy tomorrow, highs in the upper 50s, upper 40s on Friday with a mix of sun and clouds. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under sunny skies, it's 59 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Warm up your winter with a roof-raising celebration of the music and times of electrifying jazz legend Alberta Hunter, told in the key of blues. The new Denver Civic Theater at 721 Santa Fe Drive presents a loving tribute to an icon of the blues, legendary songstress Alberta Hunter, whose international career spans a century. Cooking at the Cookery played to record-breaking crowds throughout the country, including Phoenix, New York, and Chicago. Critics agree the show is red-hot, astonishing, electrifying, delicious entertainment. Cooking at the Cookery, set in 1977, is written, directed, and choreographed by Marion J. Caffey. It stars Tony nominee Ernestine Jackson and Janice Lorraine, who impersonates Hunter with sass, energy, and musical savvy, said Donald Lyons of the New York Post. Tickets just $40, Wednesday through Saturday at 8 p.m., weekend matinees at 3 p.m., Sunday at 7 p.m. Special $30 price on Wednesdays. On sale at Ticket West Outlets, King Supers, by calling 866-464-2626 or at www.denvercivic.com.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major averages rallied following reports showing the trade deficit shrinking to its lowest level in a year and wholesale prices rising in line with most expectations. Let's take a look at the numbers. The Dow Industrials rose 111 points to 10,538. The NASDAQ gained 15 points to 2,111. And the S&P 500 added 9 points to 1131. Big board volume was about 1.5 billion shares. Advancers beat decliners by a 2-to-1 margin. A few minutes ago, the Wall Street Journal's website reported J.P. Morgan will buy Bank One in a $60 billion deal. Bank One is up more than $5. J.P. Morgan off $2 in after-hours trading. Honeywell provided the Dow's biggest percentage lift today, rising just over 3%. Credit Suisse First Boston says Honeywell should benefit from a rival's increased profit outlook. That rival Rockwell Collins climbed 8%. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
2:43 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. We're going to give away some tickets. You have to be able to come to the station to pick them up. The event is for Friday night, the 16th, 6 to 9 p.m. at Johnson & Wales University Event Center. It's Suddenly Sonoma, Definitely Denver. 80 different Sonoma wines are going to be poured. These are Sonoma, a really strong presence by Sonoma Vintners. And wonderful hors d'oeuvres that are going to be prepared by the Johnson & Wales students, and it's a culinary academy. So it should be really quite wonderful. The value of these tickets is $80. And if you are the fifth caller, 303-382-1150, you get two tickets, and they are worth $80. Two tickets, be the fifth caller, 303-382-1150. And I am looking at the board, lighting up. Be the fifth call. Ah, we have a winner. Okay. I believe we have a winner if you're the fifth caller. I think we got somebody. And you have to pick these tickets up. Again, the event is Friday night. You have to pick them up during business hours here at the station. And we are located at 18th and Lawrence. We are above the old Spaghetti Factory. And I think we have a winner. Who it is, Joe? Raby from Boulder? Randy from Boulder. Okay, Randy from Boulder, congratulations on winning these tickets. You're going to have to come and pick them up here, and you're going to have a great time. And a little bit, in a few more minutes, we're going to be giving away tickets to Queen Noor. This is for a talk she's going to be giving here in Denver at Betcher Concert Hall, Denver Center for the Performing Arts. This would be January the 20th, next Tuesday at 7 p.m. I would love to attend, but I'm going to be in Venice. The tickets are worth $66. This is a pair of tickets, and I'll give them away in just a few moments. I hope I remember. Sometimes I forget. But we have more of those to give away during the rest of the week as well. So just hang on. We have a few more minutes with each other. Just a little bit of additional news, and that is that Howard Dean is going to Plains, Georgia. Former President Jimmy Carter plans to appear with Howard Dean. He's not endorsing anybody yet, but it sounds like it's almost like an endorsement. So Howard Dean is going to Plains, Georgia. A lot of people don't like Jimmy Carter, but I once interviewed Jimmy Carter. You had, wrote a book of poetry, which for a politician was pretty revealing. So at the end of my interview, I said to him, President Carter, I'm not going to ask you whether you wear boxers or briefs, because if we wait long enough, all will be revealed in a poem. And he laughed, ha, ha, ha. So it was a very, he was very nice. Okay, here we've got it. Don't we have more important things here to protect consumers in Colorado? Here's Ken Clauber, who's trying to clobber the supermarket cards that you get, like at Safeway and King Soopers and places like that, where you, when they have a sale, if they don't swipe your card, you don't get the sale price. And he thinks that's not fair. He thinks that they're, what they're doing is that they are unfair, intrusive, that they ought to be banned, that they're just using those cards to amass information about you. Now, that could very well be the case. And then here's Dan Grossman, Arnie's son, and he wants to expand the no-call list to add nonprofit groups and political causes. Colorado would become one of the first states in the nation to add nonprofits, political organizations, and politicians to its no-call law under a bill proposed by two lawmakers, Dan Grossman, Senator Dan Grossman of Denver, and another lawmaker, I think Representative Mark Larson, who co-sponsored the bill. So what do you think about that? Why not do what California does? On these gift cards, which many people gave, sent and gave in the last, in Christmas, at Christmas, all this gift card traffic. If you don't use your gift card, first of all, a lot of people just throw them away or forget about them, and they never get used, and this is money in the pockets of the companies where the gift cards are issued. But if you don't use up your card within a year, look at the fine print. In places like, I don't know, Barnes & Noble, Starbucks, places like that, Borders maybe, I don't know, who else, they start charging you. They start dinging your gift card account. So if it wasn't that much to begin with, it'll be worth nothing by the time you get around to using it. They charge you X amount a month. It's not costing them anything. It's just another way for them to line their pockets. And in California, they can't get away with that anymore. At least not for 2 years, I don't think, and maybe even longer than that. Why doesn't a smart legislator in Colorado stand up there and do something for the people instead of motate around pretending to preserve our rights to say the Pledge of Allegiance in classroom and then exempting anybody who wants to be exempted? 303-382-1150. They're so busy with the Pledge of Allegiance that the idea of actually protecting consumers against anything very much that has to do with corporations, forget about that. We don't get that. Just like around TV sweeps time, what do we get? We get stories about city workers on the public dime malingering, having five-hour lunches and coming in for 10 minutes and then leaving 3 hours early and going to the gym. That's the kinds of stories we're getting during sweeps period. Instead of a lot of times, instead of some real investigative pieces, we do sometimes, but most of the time we don't. So here we've got the SEC. Here you have brokerages getting payoffs, widespread interest instances of brokers getting payoffs for steering investors toward specific funds. And they're probably such junky funds that they have to give you a payoff to get anybody to buy your fund in the first place. So you can imagine it's probably crappy funds to begin with. And it's never disclosed to the investor. You have no idea that you're being steered because somebody is getting a payoff for it. Christopher in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I just love you to death.
Thank you, Christopher.
I really do. I want to let you know about gift cards. I actually work for a big retail corporation who doesn't charge after so many months or years. But most gift cards, the point of sale, it's recorded that they're sold when they're sold. Say you buy a gift card for $20. But that $20 doesn't normally go on the books of the company until it's redeemed. So
it may not go on the books. They still got your $20.
Yeah, I know. They still have your $20. They do. But I just wanted to let you know that I'm not sure how companies reconcile.
What company does not charge that you can tell us?
Well, I work for Gap.
And then if you buy a gift card for somebody from the Gap, there's no charge?
There's never any charge. No, and we, do you know what? Since they did the big story about it, we have had everyone come in during holidays and say, now this one, they're not going to be charged if they don't use it or anything. So, I mean, a lot of people are aware of it now. So hopefully some of the other companies that don't have as friendly policies will be changing it if they get enough consumer complaints.
Boy, I hope it. I hope so. I just hate the idea that your gift card is worth nothing because you didn't use it in a timely fashion. They're sitting on your money. They're not paying you a dime's worth of interest for it. And in the aggregate, that money really adds up to a whole pile of it.
Oh, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does.
Christopher, I'm delighted that you called. Thank you very much. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
I like
Have
the Gap. Yeah, to you too. I like the Gap. Gap's one of my favorite places. And you know what else? I've been thinking about supporting Sears. I've been doing some Sears shopping lately because they're supporting our troops. They are paying them the difference between their salaries in the military and their Sears salaries. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Also, I just got this from Randy. Randy says, hi, Enid. I was thinking about the Bush spin with the War College coming out and agreeing with Bush's critics on the Iraq War and Paul O'Neill revealing that Bush, while he was saying his tax cuts were loaded for the lower income taxpayers, knew that the opposite was true. What's a failing president to do in an election year? Promise us the moon? Of course. That's it. He does promise us the moon. And Mars, too. Why not? There's no funding for it. And it's so far into the future, everyone will forget he said it anyway. I was thinking maybe they should call it the No Planet Left Behind program. Oh, Randy, you're so mean. Also, I want to remind you I'm going to be on Fox News this Saturday night. On the John Kasich Show, it's called Heartland. It airs in Denver from 6 to 7 p.m. Probably I'll be in the latter half of it. They told me 6:30 to 7 p.m., but they never really know for sure. I'll be debating, I think, talk host Mike Gallagher, who's kind of a mean old nasty porky old windbag, but he's going to just try to rip me to shreds, and he might even succeed. So you have to watch and support me. Anyway, that's this Saturday night on Fox News, Fair and Balanced. Ha, ha, ha. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AME 1150 KNRC.
How Denver and Colorado spell great talk radio. KNRC.
Jim Condor here talking with Bev Rouleau from International Optique. Bev, fashion eyewear the best in the city and now a sale. Bev, what's up with that?
Jim, International Optique is having our annual sale now through January 15th, and it's a blowout.
I know the details. If you purchase prescription frames and lenses at International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard, you receive a 25% discount.
It's a family affair at International Optique. Just bring your family and friends. Everyone receives 25% off their new frame and lenses.
And don't forget to use your Flex dollars while saving money. If you run out of time to use your Flex dollars, come in for a gift certificate to be used later.
Jim, the excitement about International Optique is that we carry frames with a little attitude or a lot of attitude. Either way, let our staff make sure you walk out looking beyond fabulous.
For the best in eyewear in Denver, join International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard now through January 15th for their spectacular 25% off prescription frame and lens sale. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and we know International Optique.
I own a chain of spas. We offer mud baths, hydrotherapy, everything to de-stress our clients. So if we run into a cash flow problem, the last thing we want is to start stressing out ourselves.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of Open, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It's very calming.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Imagine a center of peace where people come to learn the special ways we are different, so we can celebrate the wonderful ways we are the same. Support the Imagine Peace Foundation and attend their dinner and silent auction Saturday, January 31st at 6 p.m. at the downtown Denver Marriott. The honored speaker of the evening will be Dr. Arun Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi's grandson and founder of the M.K. Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence. Register online at blacktiecolorado.com and be part of the vision to imagine peace.
RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving, says don't take your lifestyle on the road. Designate before you celebrate. Learn more at RAD.org.
Talk to Bill O'Reilly.
San Diego City Council agreed to settle with the American Civil Liberties Union over a lawsuit challenging the city's lease to the Desert Pacific Boy Scouts Council. Even though the Supreme Court of America said the Boy Scouts have a perfect right because it's a private organization to monitor what kind of a person joins the organization, the ACLU went around that and goes into the anti-discrimination laws. So what's going to happen is the ACLU is going to do this all over the country. Forget about the Boy Scouts. I mean, see you later.
Bill O'Reilly, weekday mornings from 10 till noon on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
2:55 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Okay, be the fourth caller, and you're going to win two tickets to Queen Noor. The talk on Tuesday the 20th, 7 p.m., Betcher Concert Hall, Denver Center for the Performing Arts. The value of those tickets, $66. A real queen, not some of our drama queens. And you got to pick them up. You've got to pick up the tickets here at the station. You have to be able to do that. Be the fourth caller, and you win two tickets. We have a winner. Okay, I see that we do. And Joe will tell me who that winner is in just a second. And congratulations to the winner. We'll be giving away more Queen Noor tickets the rest of the week before I head out for, I'm going to Venice on next Monday. I'm going to do the show Monday. Doug Kellett has graciously agreed to come in to do my last hour, the 2 to 3 o'clock. It's just for that day only. He wants you to be reassured that he's not trying to take over my time slot. And he's going to do that last hour for me, and I'm zooming to the airport and going to Venice. And I'm trying to resurrect my language skills, my Italian, which I never mastered in the first place. So God help me. It's going to be a mess. Anyway, all right, here it is, the Borowitz Report. We didn't get to that today, so we have to share this. Schwarzenegger orders breast implant inspections. He names himself Inspector General. Calling silicone breast implants. Oh, our winner is Tom from Denver. Thank you, Joe. This is the Borowitz Report. Calling silicone implants, breast implants, the biggest problem facing California today. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Gruppenführer, today ordered mandatory silicone breast implant inspections for every woman in California. Quote, the time has come to say hasta la vista, baby, to fake breasts, Governor Schwarzenegger said, introducing a bill calling for silicone inspection teams to fan out across the state. With a towering budget deficit plaguing California, many observers in Sacramento were surprised that Mr. Schwarzenegger would name fake breasts the most worrisome problem on his agenda. But the governor today declared his commitment to cracking down on what he called California's fake breast epidemic, naming himself California's breast inspector in chief. Mr. Schwarzenegger then led a team of breast inspectors through Southern California's San Fernando Valley, which the governor has derided as Silicon Valley in recent speeches. Wearing a baseball cap reading, Fake Breast Inspector Number One, Governor Schwarzenegger pounded on doors shouting, "This is your governor! Show me your breasts!" causing many residents to bolt their doors and phone the authorities. While opposition groups howled that the fake breast implant inspection regime was improper and might even be unconstitutional, the governor remained undaunted. "We just need more time," Schwarzenegger said. "The inspections are working." In other news, Governor Arnold, a photo diary of his first 100 days in office, arrives in bookstores today. The critics are raving about this latest hit book from the Borowitz Report, chronicling Governor Schwarzenegger's first 100 days in doctored photos and even faker captions. I guess you can buy this online. So there it is, the Borowitz Report. Schwarzenegger ordering breast implant inspections, and he names himself Inspector in Chief. Oh, my goodness. It gives new meaning. I always thought Dolly Parton gave new meaning to the term Silicon Valley, but there is a species of rose called the Dolly Partons for its humongous blossoms, but I guess we won't go there. Okay, what we're going to be doing on Friday, Linda Fairstein, who is a reporter, or was a DA prosecutor for the Manhattan District Attorney's Office Sex Crimes Unit. I mean, she was really a big deal in New York. A really pivotal personality has walked away from that finally, and she's been writing these blockbuster novels, and she has a new one out called The Kills, and she's going to be at the Tattered Cover in the week that I'm in Italy, or we would have had her live in studio as we did last time, but we'll be talking to her from, I'm thinking, probably New York. And again, I'm going to be on Fox News Saturday night on the John Kasich Show from the Heartland, it's called, somewhere between 6 and 7 p.m. I hope you're able to watch, and I hope it's not too hideous an experience for all of us involved. Thank you, Joe Anderson, for your fine work. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, for yours. Thanks to all of you who called and listened. Let's do it again tomorrow. Let's have lunch together, okay? And it won't be fast food. It'll be slow food. 3 hours of it right here on AM 1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. Do something generous, will you?
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150. KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon, sunny, 60 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by RE/MAX. President Bush's vision for the future of the U.S. space program has met with the approval of one local expert. Steve Lee, the space scientist at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, says he liked a lot of what he heard today.
We really need to take a look at what we're doing with the shuttle, what we expect people to be doing in space over the long term, And over the next 10 years or so, how do we get the shuttle back flying and what's going to replace the shuttle? And I think he addressed all of those things.
Bush is proposing developing a new spacecraft to carry Americans back to the moon in 2015. Under the scheme announced today, the U.S. would withdraw from the International Space Station by 2010 and retire the space shuttle fleet at the same time. The president said he would ask Congress to boost NASA's budget by $1 billion over the next 5 years. For his part, Lee says that would be barely enough to cover necessary research. Meanwhile, excitement is building for scientists at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab, as tonight the Mars rover will travel off its landing pad and onto the red planet's surface. The Spirit rover successfully landed on Mars 2 weeks ago, and since then, it has been beaming back stunning photos from its perch. A Denver man has won a contest that was to design an anti-president President Bush ad. The 30-second commercial is titled Child's Pay and denounces the Bush administration, blaming the president for a $1 trillion deficit. The